80% of people in Shasta County have prediabetes, but only 1 in 10 know they have it. The good news is, prediabetes can be reversible with lifestyle and diet changes. The Shasta Family YMCA is offering a new program that is recognized by the CDC to improve your health and reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes. If you desire long-term healthy change in the new year, the YMCA can help. Go to sfymca.org for the diabetes prevention program information or call the YMCA at 768-2185.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I got a lot to get to today. The President of the United States on the verge of declaring a national emergency on the border. We'll get to all of that. We'll analyze it. We'll also get to updates on our various 2020 presidential candidates on the Democratic side. But we begin today with updates in the Jussie Smollett hate crime case. You'll recall Jussie Smollett's story. Mean streets of Chicago, 2 a.m., goes down for a Subway sandwich. And he leaves his apartment, goes to the Subway, picks up his sandwich, and on the way back, suddenly out of nowhere, he is accosted by two presumably white MAGA fans who come up to him, somehow identify him from the show Empire, which is weird, and then start yelling the F word and the N word at him, at which point they string a noose around his neck, begin kicking him in the ribs, pour bleach on him, and he's only missing from the cameras for like 60 seconds because Chicago has lots of cameras. There's a 60-second period where he's missing from the camera. When he reemerges on camera, he's got a clothesline around his neck. He's still carrying his Subway sandwich because, as we have discussed before, this is always what you do. I mean, if you get in a fight, if somebody is beating the living hell out of you, threatening your life, threatening to noose you, shouting, "This is MAGA country," while doing so, your first priority, keep the sandwich. I mean, honestly, they should hire this guy at Subway. That's how much this guy loves Subway. I mean, he can take a licking and keep on ticking and carry that Subway sandwich at the same time. So 60 seconds later, he walks back on camera. Now he's got clothesline around his neck and he's carrying his Subway sandwich. He strolls right through the lobby of his building, past the doorman, goes upstairs, waits 40 minutes, and then calls the cops. At which point, the cops show up, and they say, "What happened?" He's still got the clothesline around his neck at this point, and he says, "Well, all this stuff happened." And they said, "Okay, well, can we see your phone? Because you claim you were on the phone with your manager at the time." And he says, "No. Why would you want to see my phone?" Hey, at this point, if you are not suspicious of the story, it's because you believe what you want to believe. And there were a lot of politicians who, as it turns out, believed what they wanted to believe about this story. We're talking everybody from Nancy Pelosi to Maxine Waters to Kamala Harris. Nancy Pelosi said the racist, homophobic attack on Jussie Smollett is an affront to our humanity. Maxine Waters said it's coming from the President of the United States. He's dog whistling every day. Kamala Harris said this was an attempted modern day lynching. And politicians all over the left wing spectrum decided to weigh in. AOC said there is no such thing as racially charged. This attack was not possibly homophobic. It was a racist and homophobic attack. If you don't like what is happening to our country, then work to change it. It is no one's job to water down or sugarcoat the rise of hate crimes. And the reason that she tweeted that is because Entertainment Tonight had originally run with the headline, "Jussie Smollett has been hospitalized in Chicago after a possible homophobic and racially charged attack." Okay, the reason they said possible is because it might not have happened. Is because it might not have happened, right? Which makes it awkward that it might not have happened. And anyone who heard the story, your first thought had to be, was this real? Like, every element of it seemed like too much. Every element, whenever there's a story where every element seems like it's too much, you got to think to yourself, maybe this is a hoax. Unfortunately, there have been lots of racial hoaxes in the past where people claim to have been victimized in a hate crime and it turns out not to be true. This one smelled like a hoax from the very beginning. Nonetheless, Jussie Smollett was treated with all of the sensitivity due to his claim, and specifically, because the media loves to run with the narrative that America is a racist, homophobic place, this became top news across the country, even though the claims didn't make any sense. Again, two guys in the dead of night in Chicago in 10-degree below weather who watch Empire but also are MAGA fans and were screaming at Jussie Smollett that night, "This is MAGA country," in the middle of Chicago, which apparently went 193% against Donald Trump in the last election cycle. So it was a very weird story from the beginning. That didn't stop the media from jumping all in with both feet. Good Morning America featured Jussie Smollett on their show yesterday, where he cried and he acted. It's like he's an actor or something. He said, I am not weak. I'm not weak.
Why did you hesitate to call the police?
There's a level of pride there. We live in a society where, as a gay man, you are considered somehow to be weak. And I'm not weak. I am not weak. And we, are, as a people, are not weak.
Well, no one was suggesting that gay people are weak. That doesn't answer why you wouldn't call the police when a hate crime takes place against you. Like, that's a weird answer. And then he says he just couldn't believe that people were doubting him. How could people doubt him? It's just terrible. Just terrible.
I'm pissed off.
What is it that has you so angry? Is it the attackers?
It's the attackers, but it's also the attacks. It's like, you know, at first it was a thing of like, listen, if I tell the truth, then that's it, because it's the truth. Mm-hmm. Then it became a thing of like, oh, how can you doubt that? Like, how do you not believe that? It's the truth. And then it became a thing of like, oh, it's not necessarily that you don't believe that this is the truth. You don't even want to see the truth.
No, it turns out that we sort of believe that it might not be the truth. Because ABC Chicago reported yesterday in a shocking blow, mainstream media hardest hit, that Jussie Smollett was probably not telling the truth about this. Here's ABC 7 Chicago report last night.
Police are now questioning the two people seen in this surveillance photo. One, an actor on Empire. Chicago police say there is no evidence the persons of interest were involved in that physical attack described by Smollett. Multiple sources are telling Eyewitness News that Smollett and the two men are being questioned by police for staging the attack, allegedly because his character was being written out of the show.
Now, it is true that Fox came back and they said, oh, we weren't writing Jussie out. Jussie was never going to be written out of the show. So we have a bunch of conflicting stories. But here is what we do know at this point. ABC 7 Chicago said that Smollett failed to appear for an interview with detectives earlier on Thursday. They say that they were investigating whether these two men staged an attack. The way that they tracked down these two guys is by going through Jussie Smollett's phone. Apparently, the report is that he had turned over an Excel spreadsheet with a phone log that had deleted certain calls. So they compared his actual phone log, which I guess they'd subpoenaed, with the calls that he said he had made, and then they only looked at the ones that he deleted. And that's how they tracked down these two guys. He had said in that Good Morning America interview, by the way, that those two people in the picture walking down the street, those were definitely the two guys who attacked him. So you can't have it both ways. Either he is telling the truth and those who attacked him and it turns out they're his friends, or he's not telling the truth and those were not the two guys who attacked him. It was another two guys who attacked him. A source briefed on the Smollett investigation confirmed to ABC News that Chicago police are questioning the two persons of interest, one of whom has actually appeared on Empire. The law enforcement official also told ABC News that the homes of the persons of interest were raided on Wednesday night. Police removed shoes, electronic devices, and any other items they believe could help determine if the two people played any role in the assault. Neighbors described a swarm of officers and canine units. Jamie Figueroa, a neighbor, said, I was walking in the alley. One police car stopped in the alley, and they told me to go inside the house. But then, by then, 5 minutes later, there were like 20 police right here by the door. Neighbors said they believe the men who are Nigerian are brothers who grew up in the apartment and have lived there for years. Neighbors described them as friendly and possibly bodybuilders and said they have long wanted to be actors. Chicago police said they cannot confirm any of those reports. No charges have yet been filed. Earlier, police said the two persons of interest are not suspects and have not been charged. Investigators are only talking with them at this time. The two were picked up Wednesday night at O'Hare International Airport. And a lawyer who said she was representing the two persons of interest declined to comment on the case as she left Area Central Police Headquarters. Chicago police said they were tracking these two people and they were aware of who they were for quite a while. So this has led to accusations that Chicago PD, out of fear of being called racist, was slow playing the revelation that this may have been a setup and a hoax. So here is the theme that we should take from this. Wait for the evidence. What does this say? It says the media are looking for a narrative. The narrative is racist white men do X. That is the narrative the media are looking for. They don't require any further evidence. Whenever that is the narrative, they are willing to jump on it with both feet. It also explains why it is that the media will pay inordinate attention, like truly grand attention, to anti-Semitic attacks by white supremacists, but will pay no attention to the vast bevy of anti-Semitic attacks taking place in Brooklyn every single weekend, apparently. Why? Because as the New York Times itself admitted, it doesn't fit the patterned narrative that we are seeking. The The reason the Jussie Smollett case is important is not because an actor allegedly lied to the police. It's not because of that. It's because the media are always willing to jump with both feet on any story that backs a claim that America is a racist, terrible place. And then they will slowly walk back the claims as it comes out that that's not true. We've seen a bunch of these cases recently. There was a player, I believe his name was Michael Bennett for the Seattle Seahawks, and he claimed that the racist police in Las Vegas had physically assaulted him. Tape came out. It turns out that he had resisted the police and he had run away from them. These sorts of cases do happen, which is why the appropriate thing to do now, in a time where people do fib for media attention, where people do know what the media wants and then spoon feed those narratives to the media, and where the media are willing to run with those stories, the best thing you can do on any story, it's something that I'm learning, I think everybody is learning, you gotta wait 48 hours for anything. You gotta wait 48 hours for anything. If a story seems too good to be true, unless it is confirmed by a wide variety of sources, you have to wait 48 hours. Because there's a very good shot that within 48 hours, the entire story will collapse. This happens to be true with racial hoaxes, but it's true across a wide variety of stories, as I'll explain in just a second. First, let's talk about the mattress upon which you sleep. There is nobody on the planet like you, so why would you buy a generic mattress built for somebody else? Helix Sleep has built a sleep quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress. Whether you're a side sleeper or a hot sleeper, whether you like a plush or a firm bed, with Helix, there is no more guessing and no more confusion. Just go to helixsleep.com/Shapiro, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they will match you to a mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. For couples, Helix can even split the mattress down the middle, providing individual support needs and feel preferences for each side. They've got a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. Right now, Helix is offering up to $125 off all mattress orders. Get up to $125 off at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. That's helixsleep.com/Shapiro for that $125 off. This is totally worth it. My wife and I took that 2-minute sleep quiz. The mattress arrived in the mail. We unwrapped the box. It inflates right in front of you. It's super easy. And again, you got a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. It's super comfortable, so good. I got one for my sister for her wedding. Go check them out at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Use that /Shapiro for $125 off your mattress order. All right, so as we know, it is not just on the matter of racial hoaxes and racial stories that the media are willing to jump with both feet. It's not just Michael Brown, hands up, don't shoot. It's not just that stuff. It is also with regard to President Trump. It's why we have seen multiple false stories about President Trump debunked over the past several years. CNN, you'll recall, ran with a story about President Trump suggesting that Donald Trump Jr. knew in advance about WikiLeaks leaks and that he was coordinating in advance about it, and then CNN had to walk back the report. McClatchy ran with a report that Michael Cohen was indeed in Prague meeting with Russian agents. They never walked that report back, but there's still no evidence to support it. Whenever the media leap on a story that seems so spectacular that it backs every aspect of what they want it to back, your first response should be, hold up a second. Just hold up. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's true. Maybe it all turns out to be true. But it is not racist. It is not homophobic. It is not bad. In fact, it is quite good for us all to take a deep breath and say, let's wait for the facts to come in before we jump. We live in a media environment, however, in a political environment, where even the act of waiting is now considered a sin. It's a serious problem. We have a serious disincentive to do the responsible thing and wait for the story. If you jump on the story and you happen to be right, then it's, look, the reason you're right is because your worldview is right. The reason that you knew that this story was true is because your worldview has been verified. And if you wait, then we say, the reason you're waiting is because you're not sensitive enough to the needs of a particular community. So if the Jussie Smollett story came out and you said, you know what, I got some questions about it, then you were castigated as a racist and a homophobe just for saying that you want to wait for some answers. Like, Jussie Smollett knew that. That's why he said that on Good Morning America. That's why he said he was bewildered by people who were asking questions. The question really should have been, what sane person believed every aspect of that story from the start? Now, again, maybe it happened the way he did, but without any evidence, I'm supposed to believe that two MAGA-hatted guys on the streets of Chicago at 2 a.m. attacked an Empire actor they identified from the show, wound clothesline around his neck, poured bleach on him, and then allowed him not only to escape with his life, but with his Subway sandwich? I was supposed to believe that, otherwise I was part of the patriarchy or something? It's absolute silliness. Coming up, President Trump prepared to sign into law a budget bill that would change the nature of how our border is done. We'll talk about the flaws in the budget bill and why the president may want to think twice about declaring a national emergency on the border. There may be other ways of getting that border wall without doing that. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you can't seem to stay ahead of your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. This program has been used by thousands to legally forgive millions in unsecured debt. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven from what you owe your creditors. Call for free information and get all your questions answered in the first free call. The more you owe, the more you can save. If you have at least $10,000 or more in credit card bills, this debt forgiveness program can be very effective. Call for free information and find out more now. 800-291-6670. There is no cost or obligation for the information. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Get your debt problem solved. Call 800-291-6670 today. Not available in North Dakota.
This is the Savage Nation.
EMP expert Dr. William Forstgen. U.S. will cease to exist. 90% of population will die. I don't think that's news to you, right?
Both Korea and Iran have put out videos, which you can find on YouTube, of us being hit by an EMP. The leader of North Korea has openly said, we're going to EMP you. That's it.
The Savage Nation. Listen for free online on your favorite podcast app from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the President of the United States is prepared to sign into law a new budget bill that will basically end the standoff between Democrats and Republicans over the border. Conservative Review has a great piece by Daniel Horowitz going through what exactly is in this budget deal. He says the process is indefensible. It is immoral from any ideological perspective to vote on an 1,100-page omnibus with new provisions on immigration amid a border crisis, which, of course, is true. I've talked at length before about how I think it violates the very nature of constitutional government to provide massive omnibus packages to the president. Every bill was supposed to be designed separately. Every bill was supposed to come up for a vote, and then the president had the ability to veto. The reason that the line item veto even became an issue over the last 30, 40 years is because Congress routinely would put together crap sandwiches and then tell the president to either sign the crap sandwich or veto the crap sandwich. That's not how bills used to work. So what exactly is in this thing? Well, according to Daniel Horowitz over at CR, who has a really good review of it, he says, less of a wall than even what Democrats agreed to. Trump originally demanded $25 billion for the wall. Then he negotiated himself down to $5.6 billion. Democrats balked and only agreed to $1.6 billion. This bill calls it a day at $1.375 billion, enough to construct 55 miles. But it's worse than that. The bill limits the president's ability to construct barriers to just the Rio Grande Valley sector and only bollard fencing, not concrete walls of any kind. There's no ability to adapt. In fact, this provision is so strong that it's leading people to believe that Trump may not even be able to use a national emergency to overcome it, meaning that if the bill itself restricts the ability to construct barriers to just a particular area, that's actually a solid legal basis for saying the president doesn't have national emergency power to construct wall other places. Because the way that we read law in the judiciary is that last in time is first in priority. So if Congress passes two bills, one in 1960 and one yesterday, and the one yesterday overrules the one in 1960, then the courts will read it that way. So if the National Emergencies Act of 1976 says the president can declare a national emergency and build a wall, which again is even questionable, we'll get to that. But even if it said that, if a bill yesterday came out and said, we will not allow the president to build wall other than in this small area, the bill yesterday trumps the National Emergencies Act of 1976. Second thing that's wrong with the budget, according to Daniel Horowitz, liberal local officials will have veto power over the wall. He says it's likely that not a single mile of fence will be built. Section 232A of the bill says, prior to use of any funds made available by this act for the construction of physical barriers, the Department of Homeland Security shall confer and reach mutual agreement regarding the design and alignment of physical barriers within that city. They have to consult the local elected officials. This is why they've limited the wall to the Rio Grande Valley. These are the most liberal borders on these are the most liberal counties on the borders. What are the consequences? The bill stipulates such consultations shall continue until September 30th, 2019, and may be extended beyond that date by agreements of the parties, and no funds made available in this act should be used for construction while consultations are continuing, which means Trump can't build any wall at least until September, and maybe beyond, because he has to consult with all of these liberal authorities. Third, the bill contains a blatant amnesty for the worst cartel smugglers. Section 224A prohibits the deportation of anyone who is sponsoring an unaccompanied minor illegal alien, or who says they might sponsor an unaccompanied minor illegal alien, or lives in a household with an unaccompanied minor illegal alien, or a household that might potentially sponsor an unaccompanied minor illegal alien. So we are now using children being trafficked across the border as an excuse not to arrest illegal immigrants in the country who may apply as a sponsor, or anyone in the household applying as a sponsor. Jessica Vaughn of the very anti-immigration Center for Immigration Studies, she says, we can call this the MS-13 Household Protection Act of 2019. We know that 80% of UAC sponsors, that's unaccompanied children, are in the country illegally. The number of people this would protect would reach into the hundreds of thousands if all the potential or household members are counted. And fourth, the budget bill contains more funding to manage and induce the invasion rather than to deter it. There is no new funding for ICE deportation agents. It does add another $40 million for the Alternatives to Detention program, which moves asylum seekers to facilities in the interior of the country where they are usually released. That's catch and release. And finally, it doubles low-skilled workers. It doubles the number of H-2B non-agricultural unskilled seasonal workers who will continue to be a public charge on America, according to Daniel Horowitz. That's just a cursory glance through the bill. So there's a bunch of problems with the bill itself. Now, the assumption was that President Trump would sign this bad bill, and then he would declare a national emergency. According to ABC today, the president is going to declare some $8 billion for border walls. The Daily Mail, actually, is reporting that by declaring a national emergency, it's going to allow him to spend $8 billion building his wall after signing that bill to avoid a government shutdown. The White House confirmed Thursday the president will sign a bipartisan spending deal to avoid another government shutdown, but will declare the national emergency in an effort to procure funds to build a border wall. Trump will hold an event in the White House Rose Garden about the border at 10 a.m. on Friday. He's expected to sign both the funding bill and the paperwork for his executive actions. Well, there's some problems with the National Emergency Declaration. Number one, we have to make sure that he doesn't limit himself in the budget bill itself to not being able to do any of the stuff he's talking about, as I mentioned. But number two, it is really unclear whether a National Emergency Declaration allows the President of the United States to mobilize the military in a non-emergency, non-military situation to build the border wall. Also, it turns out that immigration law is actually not wartime power. Immigration law is domestic law enforcement. Section 2293 only applies to a war or emergency that requires or may require use of the armed forces. We've never used the armed forces with regard to stopping things at the border except in rare, rare occasions. Another federal law allows the military to condemn property for various purposes like fortifications, but funding has to be appropriated by Congress to that purpose. As I said yesterday, the best provision of law for the president is the provision of law, 10 U.S.C. 284, that suggests that the president can declare certain drug corridors and then build fencing along those drug corridors. But the idea that he has some widespread national emergency power, and he's not actually expanding current national emergency power, I think is foolhardy and opens the door to precedent. Coming up, we're going to talk about whether declaring a national emergency is even going to work. Is it even going to accomplish what President Trump thinks it's going to accomplish? I think probably not.
Laura Ingraham, Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Tom Gresham are only on KCNR 1460. KCNR 1460.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR. KCNR rolls into 2019 with great changes to our programming. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the Shasta County airwaves. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, it's the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, 1460 a.m. and soon on 96.5 FM. Now, more than ever, we are your locally owned, community-connected radio station.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. We are living in a prophetic time when the insolent will rule and the morally corrupt will make the laws of the land. The young, who have not been taught right from wrong and whose minds have been poisoned, will lead those who are being deceived. People will sink into despair, and the eyes of their understanding will remain blind to the only way of escape. Only through a saving relationship with Jesus Christ will they find the peace they are seeking. It's vital you attend a church that will help you learn how to apply God's Word in your everyday life while living in this world. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's
five-star bank.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the president is set to sign into law this new budget bill, and at the same time, he's going to sign a national emergency declaration. Will that even work? The real question is, if the president declares a national emergency, tries to build the border wall, a couple of questions. One, is it legal? Meaning, will it ever be allowed to be effectuated? I think the answer is probably no. I think it'll be held up in court until at the very earliest late 2020. Even if it is not held up in court, even if border wall fencing is allowed to be built, it will be on a small portion of the border. It is quite possible that the budget deal itself obviates the legal capacity to build more wall under a national emergency declaration, as I talked about a little bit earlier. So there's that. That's question number one. Question number two, even if it gets through, is it actually expanding national emergency powers the president has used before? And the answer here is yes. It turns out that using eminent domain as an executive power without congressional authorization, declaring a national emergency on the basis of failed domestic negotiations, that is a bad precedent. It's a bad precedent to set. How do we know it's a bad precedent to set? Because you can see the gleam in Nancy Pelosi's eye when she discusses the kind of national emergencies she would like to declare if she had the power to do so. Here's Nancy Pelosi's reaction to the national emergency declaration.
It's important to note that when the president declares this emergency, first of all, it's not an emergency, what's happening at the border. It's a humanitarian challenge to us. The president has tried to sell a bill of goods to America. The president is doing an end run about Congress, about the power of the purse. You've heard me say over and over again, Article 1, the legislative branch, the power of the purse, the power to declare war, many other powers listed in the Constitution, and, of course, the responsibility to have oversight. So the president is doing an end run around that. You want to talk about a national emergency? Let's talk about today, the one-year anniversary of another manifestation of the epidemic of gun violence in America. That's a national emergency.
Okay, now you can see her get excited when she starts talking about this. Is Nancy Pelosi a wild hypocrite when it comes to legislative power versus executive branch power? Of course she is. She had no objections to President Obama wildly at every turn expanding executive power. None whatsoever. She had no problem with any of that. And this is one of the big problems with, honestly, the founders did not believe that party politics would end up trumping the interests of each particular branch. The founders, if you go back and read the Federalist Papers, the founders believed that the legislature would be zealous in guarding its own powers. It wouldn't be interested in allowing the executive branch to continue expanding its own powers. Thanks to the rise of administrative government, backed by Democrats and allowed by Republicans over the last century, since Woodrow Wilson, the executive branch has spun out of control. Most lawmaking does not happen at the legislative level. It happens at the regulatory level. That's all in the executive branch. Effectuation of law happens inside the executive branch. Congress is becoming a vestigial organ. And the only time that Congress is not a vestigial organ is when there is actually a gridlock, when Democrats control Congress and a Republican controls the presidency, or vice versa. When one party controls both the legislature and the White House, then executive power tends to increase because nobody in the legislative branch of the party of the president is going to object to the president. So what you're seeing right now is Republicans who would certainly object if Barack Obama tried to do something like this. They would take legislative action to stop him. Right now, Republicans are making sounds like they don't like President Trump doing what he's doing, but are they actually going to stop him? Highly, highly doubtful. Something like 10 Republicans have come out in the Senate and said they don't like this thing. How many Republicans would be saying they don't like this thing if Barack Obama were declaring a national emergency to build wind farms? Everybody in the Congress, right? They would all say this is absurd. You can't declare a national emergency to do this sort of thing. This is a legislative process. The same holds true for Nancy Pelosi. If Barack Obama were doing that, Nancy Pelosi would be talking about the wonders of the executive branch. The founders didn't understand, or they didn't foresee, that party politics would be so strong as to actually trump the governmental interests of the various branches. It would be more important whether the president was of your party than whether the legislature was having its authority usurped. It's a very dangerous thing. It's why the founders never would have been okay with the rise of bureaucratic government. That's not their fault. They didn't think the president would ever have this much power. They thought they'd circumscribe the power of the president. Not so. The rise of executive branch power has been everlasting and continuous throughout the course of the last century, and we are seeing the effects of it now as the president of both parties, doesn't matter the party, continues to usurp more and more power from the legislature. That is not a good precedent. If you think it's a good precedent, wait until there's a Democratic president, guys. And don't give me the, well, Democrats are going to break the rules anyway, so Republicans should break the rules also. If you use that logic, honestly, if you really believe that the Democrats are going to break every rule to effectuate their policies, just declare Trump dictator and be done with it. It's an argument that proves too much. We do still have certain constitutional and legal norms in this country that both parties do hew to for the most part, which is why it's a problem when people stray from those principles. If you believe that when Democrats take power, they're going to declare the next president a dictator, then you should be calling for President Trump to simply override the Constitution and seize power now so as to prevent a left-wing dictatorship. I don't believe that's the case. I think the constitutional norms still prevail. Call me foolish, call me optimistic, but those constitutional norms, despite gradual encroachments of power, have largely prevailed over the past couple of hundred years in the United States. Okay, meanwhile, Democrats proving themselves incompetent once again as Amazon pulls out of New York City. According to the New York Times, Amazon on Thursday canceled its plans to build an expensive corporate campus in New York City after facing an unexpectedly fierce backlash from lawmakers, progressive activists, and union leaders who contended that a tech giant did not deserve $3 billion in government incentives. The vast majority of those incentives, by the way, were tax breaks. Now, I've said before, I don't believe in giveaways to specific companies. I think that's cronyistic. I think that if you want to have a good working environment, you want to bring business into your state or city, lower the tax rate for everyone. Don't give special giveaways to certain sized companies or to certain big companies that you want to bring into town. With that said, was New York going to lose money by giving tax breaks? No, they were not going to lose money by giving tax breaks. They were going to gain money by bringing a giant business into Queens that was going to bring some 25,000 jobs with it. Nonetheless, people on the left do not understand basic economics, and so they were very pleased with their own genius here. It's pretty hilarious. So in a second, I'm going to explain how pleased everyone was with their own stupidity. It's pretty astonishing. We'll explain in just one second, and then we'll get to our 2020 roundup. We have a new thing that we do on the show that I'm very excited to bring to you. We have theme songs for every Democratic candidate, and it's pretty great. We'll bring you all that in just a second. But first, we need to talk about an uncomfortable fact. We're all going to plot. I know, dark thoughts here on a Friday. But this is why you need life insurance. If you're an adult, you need to make sure that your family is taken care of. And whether you're an insurance expert or a newbie, Policy Genius has created a website that makes it easy for you to compare quotes, get advice, and get covered. Policy Genius. It's the easy way to get life insurance. In minutes, you can compare quotes from top insurers and find the coverage you need at a price you can afford. From there, you just apply online. The advisors at Policy Genius will handle all the red tape. They'll even negotiate your rate with the insurance company. No extra fees, no commission sales agents, just helpful advice and personalized service. And Policy Genius doesn't just make life insurance easy. Whether you're shopping for disability insurance to protect your income, or homeowners insurance, or auto insurance, they can help you get covered fast. So, no matter how much or how little you know about life insurance, you can find the right policy in minutes at PolicyGenius.com. Policy Genius is indeed the easy way to compare and buy life insurance. Go check them out right now at PolicyGenius.com. Get the right life insurance policy for yourself. Make sure your family is taken care of. It's the adult thing to do. PolicyGenius.com, the easy way to compare and buy life insurance. Alrighty, so Amazon was getting mostly tax breaks to come to New York City. There were certain cash grants that they were getting because they qualified under already applicable law in New York for these cash grants, which they shouldn't have these cash grant programs. But leftists were very angry because they don't like Amazon. The reason they don't like Amazon is because Amazon is big and Amazon is successful and Amazon provides jobs. Unbelievable. So AOC, who, believe it or not, has an economics either major or minor, still unclear on this, from Boston University, which means that Boston University should be shut down until we know what the hell is going on. AOC explained her excitement at thrusting out a company from her district that would bring some 25,000 jobs to her district. It's really incredible. Here she is, spouting utter nonsense that emerges from that fresh face. Here we go.
Incredible. I mean, it shows that everyday Americans still have the power to organize and fight for their communities, and they can have more say in this country than the richest man in the world. We could invest those $3 billion in our district ourselves if we wanted to. We could hire out more teachers. We can fix our subways. We can put a lot of people to work for that money if we wanted to. There was no guarantee that those jobs were for the New Yorkers that were here. I think that we can absolutely come together to create an economic plan that actually invests in New Yorkers.
There are a few problems with what she is saying. Problem number one, I love when she says, we could take those $3 billion and we could spend them here. No, you can't. No, you can't. Let me explain, because you're stupid. Well, I'll explain very slowly using small words and clipped sentences. Here's how a tax incentive works. I come to your town, and you say, instead of charging me a 30% tax, you will charge me a 20% tax. I then bring my company, and I pay a 20% tax on my income. the city is richer, for I am now paying a tax. If I were not in the city, the tax would not be paid. If you instead say, listen, I'm going to raise that tax back up to 30%, I say, okay, fine, I'm out. You don't then get to claim that that 10% tax difference is money that is in your pocket. I'm not there to pay the tax. What the hell are you talking about? This is so, I mean, it's not just economically illiterate. It is mathematically and logically illiterate. It doesn't make any sense at all. Oh, my God. Even Andrew Cuomo, who is just a dummy, even he was like, what are you guys doing? Are you guys crazy? He issued a statement saying Amazon chose to come to New York because we are the capital of the world and the best place to do business. However, a small group of politicians put their own narrow political interests above their community. Why don't you name names, Governor? Go for it. Let's hear it. Who were these people who would put their own political interests above the needs of their community? Bill de Blasio, who's a commie, he then blamed Amazon for pulling out of the deal, which was hilarious. So he originally was like a big fan of the deal, and then he's like, no. The deal's bad. You know why? Because Amazon, if Amazon really cared about New York, they'd pay whatever tax we laid on them. The New York Times has a piece today from some moronic columnist suggesting that New York just won a victory over Amazon. See, when you offer incentives to a giant company to come to your city and provide jobs, and then you throw them out, that's not actually a victory. You're no better off than when you started. But the beautiful thing about being on the left is that nothing you ever say has to make any sense. It's like, truly, this makes no sense. Like, from any perspective, it doesn't make any sense. But that's okay, because being on the left means pandering to the worst instincts and dumbest people among us, apparently. Or at least the dumbest ideas among us. Okay, so which brings us to our 2020 update. Now, we have a new thing. There are too many Democratic candidates, just too many. There are 1,192, one for each page of the budget bill. Democratic candidates in 2020. So to try and keep them straight, we have added theme music for all of the various Democratic candidates. And this allows us to bring you updates. So here's our 2020 radicalism update. We begin with Senator Elizabeth Warren. Yeah, the colors of the wind, man. So she tweeted out about Amazon, quote, Amazon, one of the wealthiest companies on the planet, just walked away from billions in taxpayer bribes, all because some elected officials in New York aren't sucking up to them enough. How long will we allow giant corporations to hold our democracy hostage? What? They walked away from taxpayer bribes because elected officials aren't sucking up to them enough? Fine, keep going with this and just drive all the business out of the city. I guess that's your problem. It's so funny. Elizabeth Warren used to not be this insane. Like, really, I met Elizabeth Warren when she was at Harvard Law School. She was at the welcoming dinner when I was being recruited for Harvard Law School. She was not a crazy person then. Like, she was a progressive for sure, but she was not a complete nut job. To suggest that this is Amazon's fault because New York wouldn't suck up to them enough? Like, it's not sucking up to provide a good business climate, but I guess it is if you're pandering for that left-wing Bernie Sanders vote. Which brings us to Bernard McJ Sanders. Here we go. That is the Soviet national anthem for those keeping track at home. So, Senator Bernie, he loves that song, by the way. Sings it shirtless in the Soviet Union, the whole deal. Senator Bernie Sanders reached out to Representative Ilhan Omar on Tuesday to offer his support and amid criticism from both Democrats and Republicans that the progressive freshman lawmaker trafficked in anti-Semitic tropes on Twitter. Remember that time that Steve King lost his committee assignments from Republicans and everybody ran screaming away from him with their hair on fire? Ilhan Omar says anti-Semitic things every 5 seconds, as we discussed on the podcast yesterday, and Bernie Sanders bear hugs her, because this is what the progressive left has become. They are fine with anti-Semitism. They are cool with anti-Semitism. In fact, they think that anti-Semitism meshes well with the socialist perspective on the world, because Jews are too successful. And because Jews are too successful, this means that they are part of the hierarchical free market structure that victimizes others. Bernie Sanders has long been anti-Israel. That's not a shock. A lot of folks on the left are. But openly embracing anti-Semites like Ilhan Omar, pretty amazing. Apparently, Bernie Sanders said, quote, I talked to Ilhan last night to give her my personal support. We will stand by our Muslim brothers and sisters. Question, what makes you think that all Muslims are anti-Israel, anti-Semitic bigots? Isn't that a little bit judgmental, Senator? Okay, so there's your Bernie Sanders update. Coming up, more updates on the Democratic 2020 candidates with all of their theme music so we can identify the players on the scorecard. Let's just say, this is not a great field. It really isn't. We'll explain why. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is the Savage Nation.
EMP expert Dr. William Forstgen. U.S. will cease to exist. 90% of population will die. I don't think that's news to you, right?
Both Korea and Iran have put out videos, which you can find on YouTube, of us being hit by an EMP. The leader of North Korea openly said, we're going to EMP you. That's it.
The Savage Nation. Listen for free online on your favorite podcast app from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
If you have hard water, the lime scale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate lime scale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we are going through each of the Democratic 2020 candidates and giving you the updates on their campaigns. So, next, Beto O'Rourke. So you'll remember the congressperson from El Paso. Here's Beto's theme song, man. Rad. So, you'll recall that Beto O'Rourke, down on the Texas border, punk rocker, bangs in the eyes. Flip your hair, man. Beto O'Rourke, he did a rally next to President Trump the other day, and he talked about the border. And while talking about the border, he said that walls are bad and walls kill people, which led Representative Dan Crenshaw to say, well, dude, do you want to tear down all those walls? And Beto owned it, like a bro, like a dude. Here he is saying, yeah, man, I'll tear down that wall. Because something and skateboarding.
If you could, would you take the wall down now? Here.
Yes.
Like you have a wall.
Absolutely.
Knock it down.
I'd take the wall down.
And do you think the city, you think if there's a referendum here in this city, that would pass?
I do.
What? That's great. I remember. I'm old enough to remember when the New York Times actually ran a piece saying Republicans pounce. They keep saying Democrats are open borders fanatics. There's Beto, one of your Democratic front runners, saying that he would tear down an actual border wall that exists and has lowered the levels of illegal immigration. And he says that people in his city would vote to tear down that border wall also. Really? Keep running on that. Let's do that. Okay, on to Senator Kamala Harris, the narc from California. So, Kamala Harris has herself an interesting week. She is promoting an anti-lynching bill, which, of course, is fine. You know, I'm very much in favor of the anti-lynching bill. The anti-lynching bill basically just strengthens federal crime against lynching, which is fine. I mean, lynching isn't taking place on a regular basis, but sure, good, okay. Although, it seems to me it maybe should be a state crime instead of a federal crime, but all right. So she spoke about that a little bit yesterday. She also happens to be dominating the social media primary. So according to Mediaite and a report from Axios, when it comes to the social media attention, when it comes to interactions, it looks like Kamala Harris is winning. So Instagram interactions, Harris has 8.3 million. Bernie Sanders comes in at second with 4.6 million. Warren at 2 million. Twitter interactions, Kamala Harris has 14.4 million. Sanders, 8 million. Warren, 4.1 million. On Facebook, Sanders is dominating. On Facebook, he crushes everyone. Sanders has 22.1 million engagements. Harris has 2.4 million engagements. Warren has 2.3 million engagements. In the past 3 months, articles about Harris have generated about 16.5 million interactions on Facebook. So it's pretty obvious in the social media, in the social media arena, she is dominant. She is growing quickly. The only possible competitor on Facebook in terms of growth is Beto O'Rourke. On Instagram, she's added 613,000 followers during the past 3 months. So a lot of momentum for the narc from California. So well done, Senator Kamala Harris. Okay, which brings us to Cory McBooker. Spartacus. The Spartacus update. The senator from New Jersey, he has a couple of problems. Number one, he also pushed this anti-lynching bill. But then he said about the anti-lynching bill that we need an anti-lynching bill because of Jussie Smollett's story.
Oh, no.
He tweeted out, "The vicious attack on actor Jussie Smollett was an attempted modern-day lynching. I'm glad he's safe. To those in Congress who don't feel the urgency to pass our anti-lynching bill designating lynching as a federal hate crime, I urge you to pay attention." Well, we paid attention, and then the story turned out to be kind of like BS-y. So there's that. So well done, Cory Booker. Again, everything he does is two steps too far. The Nicolas Cage of American politics. In fact, people in New Jersey don't even like him. I love this poll. There's a poll from New Jersey released early Thursday. It says that Cory Booker would not make a good president. 42% of residents of his own state say that Cory Booker would not make a good president. 37% disagree. He's got approval ratings, 48 to 36. He has approval ratings about 48% in New Jersey. But a plurality of state residents in New Jersey say he would not make a good president. So, ouch to Spartacus. Apparently, Spartacus is going to be captured by the authorities and something bad will happen, just like in the movie Spartacus. Okay, meanwhile, we have our Kirsten Gillibrand update as well, the senator from New York known for taking every position on every issue. What do you mean? Oh, nobody knows what Kirsten Gillibrand thinks about anything, where she is on any single issue. No one knows. I mean, she's taken every position on every issue, which is one of the things that makes her so wildly unpopular. There's a new poll out from Democratic primary voters in California. And here is how it comes out. It comes out Joe Biden, 26%. Kamala Harris, 26%. Kind of shockingly low for Kamala Harris, considering she's a senator from California. Bernie Sanders at 20. Beto at 8. Elizabeth Warren at 7. Cory Booker at 3. And all the way down at 1% below Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, is Kirsten Gillibrand. She's currently tied with Marianne Williamson, the spiritual guru for Oprah. Right now, if you have to look at all of those candidates, Kamala Harris is the person who is the strongest among the candidates. Beto is really steering left.
I'm excited to announce my new radio show that will begin in January right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM. My name is Dr. Patricia Bay, and I'm a marriage family therapist with 30-plus years experience in this field. My show, Therapy in a Nutshell, will feature topics that will help you navigate your life challenges. I will be talking about subjects such as grief and loss, family drama, dealing with adult children with addictions, relationship issues such as affair recovery, betrayal, learning to trust again, and communication basics. My first show will air on Saturday, January 5th at 11 a.m., and we will be talking about simplifying your life. We want to streamline your life, cut out excess anything, excess in our heads, our homes, and in our relationships. Listen in and call with questions or comments. Let's heal the world 1 hour at a time. Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, beginning January 5th at 11 a.m.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.
Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. The chief of police says five people were killed and five officers were wounded in a shooting at a business in suburban Chicago. Aurora Police Chief Kristen Zeman has a message for the officers who came under fire, responding to a call Friday afternoon.
Thank you for your selfless act. Thank you for running towards gunfire and putting your lives in danger to protect those inside the business. My heart goes out to the victims and their families who simply went to work today like any other day.
Zeman told reporters that the officers were fired upon Friday afternoon as soon as they entered the Henry Pratt Company building in Aurora. The gunman was also killed. A fight brewing between the White House and Democrat politicians over President Trump's declaration of a national emergency over the border wall between U.S. and Mexico. Republican Congressman Stephen Palazzo of Mississippi says that President Trump is right to declare the national emergency over problems at the southern border.
Securing the American border, stopping the criminal aliens, the known people with known terrorist affiliations, the trafficking of children, and the criminal narcotics, the deadly narcotics that are coming across this, our porous border, if that's not a national security, I don't know what is.
Correspondent Warren Levinson reports cities that lost out in the Amazon sweepstakes see a second chance after the online retailer terminated its deal to locate in New York.
In its breakup letter with New York, Amazon said it didn't want anybody else, but that hardly stopped runner-up cities from advertising their availability. Officials in Newark, where Amazon operates the audiobook company Audible, sent a giant heart and the message, New York and New Jersey still love you. Localities ranging from Chicago to Rochester, New York, sent notes touting themselves. The New York deal fell apart over local opposition to nearly $3 billion in tax breaks and other perks. More than 200 cities originally submitted bids to Amazon. It chose Arlington, Virginia, and New York out of 18 finalists. Warren Levinson, New York.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Here's the truth, America. Hugh Hewitt for PatriotMobile.com. Your cell phone company is probably funding anti-Second Amendment groups. Patriot Mobile, which is America's only conservative cell phone company, does the opposite. If you are fed up with disgusting policies like New York's new late-term abortion law or Mayor Bloomberg's gun control seizure plans, make the simple switch to Patriot Mobile. Join thousands of Americans using Patriot Mobile. Get reliable nationwide coverage. Watch your hard-earned dollars fight for the First and Second Amendment rights, border security, and the sanctity of life. Veteran-led Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every bill to conservative causes like the Heritage Foundation, the NRA, and the Susan B. Anthony List. Switching to Patriot Mobile is easy, and their unlimited talk and text plans start as low as $20 a month. Need more motivation? Mention Hugh, that's me, H-U-G-H, when you call 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Or visit them online at patriotmobile.com/Hugh to get up to two activation fees waived. Enough is enough. Join the fight today. 1-800-A-PATRIOT or patriotmobile.com/Hugh.
The Pentagon's top official says it's time to expand the international coalition that's been fighting Islamic State militants in Iraq and Syria. Here's correspondent Sagar Magani with the report from the White House.
After meeting with coalition members in Germany, Acting Defense Secretary Pat Shanahan said he'd like to see more than the 79 countries now involved.
I, for one, envision an even bigger and stronger coalition going forward.
Focused on the Islamic State group's broader threat in areas like Afghanistan and the Philippines, President Trump had said he expected to get word this week that the militants had lost all the land they once held in Iraq and Syria, but Shanahan did not go that far.
We have eliminated the group's hold on over 99%.
The remaining militants are holed up in a small part of eastern Syria, with U.S.-backed forces closing in. Sagar Magani at the White House.
News and analysis at townhall.com. Payless Shoe Source joining the list of debt burden chains going out of business. Here's correspondent Mike Gracia.
Payless Shoe Source has announced all of its 2,100 stores still operating in the U.S. and Puerto Rico will close this year, some by the end of March, the rest in May. Payless filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in April 2017. According to CoreSite Research, prior to the Payless announcement, there had been 2,187 U.S. store closing announcements this year, with Gymboree and the parent company of Lane Bryant accounting for over half the total. Founded in Topeka, Kansas in 1956, Payless had over 4,400 stores in more than 30 countries as recently as 2017. I'm Mike Gracia.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average surged more than 400 points Friday as renewed optimism over trade talks between the U.S. and China put investors in a buying mood. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hello, good North State folk. Robin Hood here. Would you like to see a play about me, the ultimate hero and all-around good guy? I will wow you in a story that is hilarious and adventurous fun for the whole family. Oh, and the story has other characters in it, too. Towns Guy, tell the good folk where to see me.
Of course, Robin. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present the somewhat true tale of Robin Hood, written by Marilyn Dobson, directed by Samantha Fork. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtime's Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, January 19th through February 16th.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We've got a loaded hour coming up for you. Michael Knowles of the Daily Wire stops by to talk about President Trump's national emergency declaration, as well as Amazon's decision to pull out from New York City. We'll get into all of the details of President Trump's national emergency declaration in just a moment. First, got to bring you breaking news from Aurora, Illinois. Police in Aurora, Illinois have now responded to reports of an active shooter at a manufacturing plant in the southwest suburb of Chicago. According to city officials, the Aurora Daily Herald says preliminary reports indicate that four Aurora police officers and multiple civilians have already been wounded. John Probst is a worker at the company. He tells ABC7 that the shooter, armed with a pistol, was a co-worker. He says he was shooting at everybody. As soon as I heard the shot, we left. As soon as I heard it, I took off. He said one of the victims came down and was bleeding pretty bad. ABC7 in Chicago quotes police as saying there are multiple casualties. They have not reported if that includes any fatalities at this point. The city said on Twitter, there's an active shooter near Highland and Archer. Aurora police are on the scene. More information will be available soon. NBC News Chicago says police units have swarmed the Henry Pratt Company, which makes valves, among other industrial equipment. Initial reports are sketchy. A woman inside the company tells ABC7 she believes some of her coworkers might have been injured. We will bring you all of the latest on the unfolding situation in Aurora, Illinois, as details come in. Meanwhile, the President of the United States has declared a national emergency on the border, and he is trying to free up some $8 billion in funding to build his border wall. The statement that was put out by the President of the United States, a declaration put out at about 2 p.m. Eastern time, says the current situation at the southern border presents a border security and humanitarian crisis that threatens core national security interests and constitutes a national emergency. The southern border is a major entry point for criminals, gang members, and illicit narcotics. The problem of large-scale unlawful migration through the southern border is longstanding, and despite the executive branch's exercise of existing statutory authorities, the situation has worsened in certain respects in recent years. That's that sentence that is going to be used for a legal challenge, that the situation has worsened in certain respects. They'll have to explain which respects, because the number of unlawful crossings into the United States has actually been in decline in recent years. The Trump administration claims in particular recent years have seen sharp increases in the number of family units entering and seeking entry to the United States and an inability to provide detention space for many of these aliens while their removal proceedings are pending. Well, that would suggest that presumably we should be using a national emergency to build more beds. And if you increase the number of families but decrease the overall amount of illegal immigration, is that a national emergency again? The reason I'm asking these questions is because there will undoubtedly be a court challenge. The Trump administration says if not detained, such aliens are often released into the country and are often difficult to remove from the United States because they fail to appear for hearings, do not comply with orders of removal, or are otherwise difficult to locate. In response to the directive, in my April 4th, 2018 memorandum and subsequent request for support by the Secretary of Homeland Security, Department of Defense has provided support and resources to DHS at the southern border. Because of the gravity of the current emergency situation, it is necessary for the armed forces to provide additional support to address the crisis. Therefore, he is invoking Sections 201 and 301 of the National Emergencies Act, declaring that a national emergency exists at the southern border of the United States, and he is invoking Section 12302 of Title 10, invoking and making available certain resources to the military. To provide additional authority to the Department of Defense, he invokes Section 2808 of Title 10, as well as the Drug Enforcement Section 2804, which I had recommended that he invoke. So President Trump signed that emergency declaration a little bit earlier. Sarah Sanders tweeted that out as well. So is it legal? Right? I mean, the first question is it legal? Not completely clear that it's legal. Section 2808, for those who are wondering, and we all will be because this will be challenged in court, Section 2808 states that during a national emergency that requires the use of the armed forces, the president can reallocate defense funds to undertake military construction projects that are necessary to support such use of the armed forces. The case against the invocation of this provision is that no threat posed by undocumented immigration would actually require the use of the armed forces. We have Border Patrol for that sort of thing, and it's unclear that a wall would be necessary to support such use. Not useful, but necessary to support such use. That will be the basis of any lawsuit along these lines. Well, President Trump gave a press conference today in the Rose Garden about all of this, and here's what the president had to say. He began by saying that we will confront this crisis one way or another.
Today I'm announcing several critical actions that my administration is taking to confront a problem that we have right here at home. We fight wars that are 6,000 miles away, wars that we should have never been in many cases, but we don't control our own border. So we're going to confront the national security crisis on our southern border, and we're going to do it one way or the other.
Okay, so he begins by saying we'll do it one way or another way. That, of course, is not a constitutional perspective. You can't confront crises one way or another way. There's a prescribed constitutional order to doing these things. A lot of this rests on whether this is considered a legitimate national emergency or whether this is a slow-rolling, intractable problem in American politics that's been a problem for some 40, 50 years at this point. It's not as though the border situation hasn't been a problem for a long time. It has been. For Trump to declare a national emergency, he's going to have to make a case to a court, presumably, that some sudden change has occurred. That case, I don't think, is supremely weak. The president says that because of the national emergency, we now need border security between ports of entry. Here's what he had to say about that.
But one of the things I said I have to do and I want to do is border security, because we have tremendous amounts of drugs flowing into our country, much of it coming from the southern border. When you look and when you listen to politicians, in particular certain Democrats, they say it all comes through the port of entry. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's just a lie. It's all a lie. They say walls don't work. Walls work 100%.
Okay, well, it is true that walls work 100%, and it is true that drugs do come through areas that are not at the port of entries, but the DEA, under President Trump's own drug threat assessment in 2018, found that the majority of drugs coming in illegally over the southern border are coming in through ports of entry. The DEA reported a small percentage of all heroin seized by Customs and Border Protection agents along the land border was between ports of entry. The majority of the heroin flow is through private vehicles entering the United States at legal ports of entry, followed by tractor trailers where the heroin is commingled with legal goods. The way this works is that you have a bunch of boxes of fruit and vegetables in the back of a car, and one of those boxes, the bottom, has some heroin packed in. So the president, again, trying to declare basically that there's going to be a drug corridor. That would be the authority under 10 U.S.C. 284. He would have to establish what makes these areas drug corridors as opposed to other areas drug corridors. The president then continued by suggesting that his administration has already done amazing work on the border. Again, this sort of language would be best paired with an admission that while the Border Patrol have done great work on the border, they've not done nearly enough, and that's why there's an emergency.
We've detained more people. Our border agents are doing such incredible work. Our military has been incredible. We put up barbed wire on top of certain old walls that were there. We fixed the wall and we loaded up with barbed wire. It's very successful.
Okay, so if you're going to talk about all the success you've had on the southern border, it makes it a little more difficult to claim that you need a national emergency. Again, I'm examining Trump's words through the perspective of, will this get through court? Because whether the wall is built or not largely depends on whether this sort of thing gets through court in the first place. Then President Trump makes the case that everybody's making a big deal about the national emergency declaration because it's him doing it, not Obama. He's correct about the media in this instance, right? There's no question that the media didn't care that Barack Obama routinely violated the authority of his office by expanding his authority dramatically. President Trump does this with the national emergency declaration, and the media lose their minds. Suddenly they care about constitutional structures. He is not correct, however, that conservatives were not shouting and screaming about Barack Obama expanding the power of the executive, and many of those same conservatives today are still upset about the president expanding his authority at the expense of the legislature. Here's President Trump making the case.
So I'm going to be signing a national emergency, and it's been signed many times before. It's been signed by other presidents. From 1977 or so, it gave the presidents the power. There's rarely been a problem. They sign it. Nobody cares. I guess they weren't very exciting. But nobody cares. They sign it for far less important things in some cases, in many cases. We're talking about an invasion of our country with drugs, with human traffickers, with all types of criminals and gangs.
Okay, now it is true that all of this is a serious, serious problem. The question of what actually constitutes a national emergency would be something akin to a situation beyond which, beyond the ordinary, which threatens the health or safety of citizens and can't be properly addressed by the use of other law. Usually that means a fast-moving crisis that requires the President of the United States to act using the authority that is granted to him, acting within that authority already delegated to him. Again, not totally clear that this is going to survive legal challenge. I'll explain. The President had some more words at his press conference today. First, let's talk about GenuCell. What was your gift this Valentine's Day? Well, you can still get somebody a Valentine's Day gift, even though we are now past Valentine's Day. It's a little late, but if the gift is great, they're going to appreciate it. What's one of those gifts? How about taking 10 or 15 years off your appearance with the new GenuCell jawline treatment? No more turkey neck, double chin, sagging jawline. It works incredibly well. Linda B. from Marina Del Rey says, I love your jawline cream. It really works. I mean, I really see a difference. People never believe my age. My mom uses the GenuCell products. My wife uses GenuCell products. From now until Valentine's Day, the brand new GenuCell jawline treatment is yours for free when you order GenuCell for bags, puffiness under the eyes. For results in just 12 hours, the GenuCell immediate effects is also free. So go to GenuCell.com or call 800-525-6553. Say goodbye to the double chin, the bags under the eyes, even those laugh lines and crow's feet. They're gone. Guaranteed your money back. So you got nothing to lose. Give it a try. 800-525-6553 or GenuCell.com. That's GenuCell.com. Order now and get the GenuCell XV Collagen Builder and free express shipping. Three free gifts, free shipping. This week only, give them a call. 800-525-6553 or go to GenuCell.com. All right, so the president is, of course, correct when he slams the media for their inconsistency about all of this stuff. But again, if we care about the actual efficacy of his national emergency declaration, we have to look at the legal side of this, and then we have to determine whether a Democrat could use a similar argument about something with much more catastrophic effects on the American economy. Those are the two big questions. Will this even stand up? And if it does stand up, is that necessarily a good thing for the precedent that it sets? Well, there's a bunch of takes on this. There are many lawyers who say yes. There are some lawyers who say no. You know, there's a lot of legal controversy, all of which suggests that if the plaintiffs forum shop in this particular case, they may be able to get away with shutting down President Trump's attempts at a border wall. The president also directed some comments at the media, slamming them for not covering angel families, which, of course, is absolutely true. Everything President Trump says about Democrats being pro-open borders, everything the president of the United States says about the media being terrible in their coverage, all of that is exactly correct. Does any of it necessarily justify a national emergency declaration? That is another question. The president can be right on the underlying argument, and he can be wrong on the legal argument. We'll talk about that more in just a second. First, let's talk about how you protect and defend your online security and privacy. I'm a public figure. That means I'm constantly worried about being hacked or spied on. I don't want my emails compromised or my credit card number or online banking password stolen. That does happen to hundreds of millions of people every year. So, how can you protect yourself? The company I trust to defend my online security and privacy is ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN secures and anonymizes your connection by encrypting 100% of your network data and hiding your IP address. That means nobody can record or access your online activity. Download the ExpressVPN app on your computer or smartphone and then just use the internet the way you normally would. Click one button in the ExpressVPN app and voila, you are now protected. ExpressVPN is great for accessing content from anywhere with VPN locations in 94 countries and blazing fast speeds. ExpressVPN is consistently rated the world's number one VPN service for internet users. So, if you want the best in online protection, you want to free yourself from worries about hackers and spies, head on over to ExpressVPN. The nice folks at ExpressVPN have extended special pricing of less than $7 per month to all my fans, so go check them out at expressvpn.com/Ben to claim your discount. Again, that is expressvpn.com/Ben to learn more. Alrighty, coming up, Michael Moles of The Daily Wire and The Michael Moles Show joins us to give his analysis of whether or not the president did the right thing on the national emergency declaration. He'll also analyze for us whether Democrats did the right thing in booting Amazon from New York City. I have a feeling he's going to say no, but we'll discuss it. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to GoodClearWater.com. That's GoodClearWater.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
This is the Savage Nation.
EMP expert Dr. William Forstchen. U.S. will cease to exist. 90% of population will die. I don't think that's news to you, right?
Both Korea and Iran have put out videos, which you can find on YouTube, of us being hit by an EMP. The leader of North Korea has openly said, we're going to EMP you. That's it.
The Savage Nation. Listen for free online on your favorite podcast app from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you can't seem to stay ahead of your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. This program has been used by thousands to legally forgive millions in unsecured debt. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven from what you owe your creditors. Call for free information and get all your questions answered in the first free call. The more you owe, the more you can save. If you have at least $10,000 or more in credit card bills, this debt forgiveness program can be very effective. Call for free information and find out more now. 800-291-6670. There is no cost or obligation for the information. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Get your debt problem solved. Call 800-291-6670 today. Not available in North Dakota.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're analyzing whether the president has the legal authority or not to declare a national emergency at the border. There's a lot of argument on this issue. Some legal experts say yes, that the courts are likely to grant the president broad authority under national emergency power. Some legal authorities say no, that the Congress has not delegated enough authority to the president for him to actually use those national emergency powers to build a wall. He can declare a national emergency, but he has to have other statutory authority that allows him to build the wall. Well, joining us on the line right now is Michael Knowles. He is the host of the Michael Knowles Show over at The Daily Wire. Michael, thanks for joining the program.
Ben, thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's just jump right in. You watched the president's press conference today. Do you think that politically speaking, let's put aside the legality for a second, do you think politically speaking the president gets a win out of the situation, or is him signing what appears to be a bad budget deal and then signing a national emergency declaration, is that a win or a loss for the president?
I think politically speaking, it's a win. I think in reality, it's probably mostly a loss. But politically speaking, he gets to have Democrats defending open borders now for the next 2 years. I don't know, maybe the next 6 years. I think that'll probably help him going into 2020, with the exception of Ann Coulter and very hardcore supporters and former supporters who are very irate over this terrible, terrible spending bill. For the majority of people, I don't think they're going to look that closely into the spending bill. They're not going to really be sussing out how the National Emergencies Act relates to the spending bill. So I think politically it's a win. However, how this thing actually gets implemented, I'm not terribly hopeful.
Yeah, well, with that said, you know, it's pretty obvious that no matter what the president does at this point, so long as he can juxtapose himself to Democrats, it will be a political win. Like, the president could have legitimately just mooned the media and said, I believe in borders. And the media would immediately respond by saying, we don't believe in borders, and neither do Democrats, and Trump probably gets a political win from that. So how much was this Trump bad negotiation? Did he play this wrong all along, or was there a strategy here that failed? Or was it a political strategy that succeeded, do you think?
I do see one possible upshot of the political strategy here, which is this is a terrible spending bill. He got completely out-negotiated. This is just a huge loss of the spending bill. However, the question of the National Emergencies Act is whether or not he can override his own spending bill. So in the National Emergencies Act, which requires two-thirds majority in both houses of Congress to veto, to overturn, it's very unlikely that that will happen. It does say that in the event of a declaration by the president of a national emergency, in accordance with the act, that requires the use of the armed forces, the Secretary of Defense, without regard to any other provision of law, may undertake military construction projects. And I think the president now for weeks has been trying to position the border wall as a military project, as something that affects national security. He can send troops to the border. And so I could see a world in which he says, there's no way I'm going to win on the spending bill, so I'm going to declare a national emergency. We already have 31 other national emergencies. And then I'll override my own bill and call it a military project. How are the courts going to react to that? I don't know. This is a pretty wild strategy. But given his other options and how he's negotiated himself into a corner, I'm not sure that I see a better alternative.
We're speaking with Michael Moles of the Michael Moles Show. Michael, let's talk for a second about the situation with Amazon. So you are from New York. You are from the district that borders Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's district. And she of course, is a girl from the Bronx who's not actually from the Bronx, apparently. You've made a big issue of that. So she, along with some of her more left-leaning colleagues, basically drove Amazon out of the city of New York. Win or loss for her?
It's a win for her, I suppose, in the short term. Who are her constituents? Or is it the New Yorkers? Or is it National Democrats who have made her into a progressive darling? I think it's the latter. I don't think she shows much care for her own actual district constituents at all. Of course, again, in reality, this is a complete loss. The Amazon move would have generated $27 billion in tax revenue for New York. Businesses are fleeing New York by droves. That would just be over 25 years. It would have created 25,000 to 40,000 jobs. The average salary in that district, which is not the wealthiest district down there in Queens, would have been $150,000 a year. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez cannot abide that. She does not want to make herself a local political hero. She wants to make herself a national socialist revolutionary. So what did she do? She sold out her district where the majority of people supported Amazon's move into New York. Maybe it costs her in a local sense, but in a national sense, she still gets to be the face of the young socialist revolution.
It's so fresh, so face for AOC. I mean, it is an impressive showing that she was almost single-handedly able to drive Amazon out from New York. It is hilarious as leftists signal this as some sort of victory. It's a big win. She's incredibly ignorant about economics. She's also incredibly ignorant about Amazon. A little bit earlier today, she tweeted out at Amazon suggesting that Amazon was paying people below minimum wage and forcing them to pee into bottles. That none of that, of course, is true. But you're right that it certainly plays into her national aspirations and a narrative that Amazon is evil and that she's done something to stop the evil big corporation from coming into New York City.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is frequently wrong, but never in doubt. The irony here is that she majored in economics in college. She has talked about this frequently. She knows nothing about economics. Earlier, she had suggested that the unemployment rate was low because people had multiple jobs. She doesn't understand basic facts about the economy, about unemployment, and she's about to learn facts the hard way about unemployment in her district. The question is whether or not her local constituents will punish her for that, or if they are so ideologically left-wing that they send her back to Congress in 2 years.
Well, we will find out. Michael, thanks so much for joining the program. Michael Moles of the Michael Knowles Show, and we'll see you back here in a couple of weeks, my friend.
Talk to you later, Ben.
All right, so meanwhile, as we've been updating you on all day, the President of the United States has declared a national emergency on the border, and he is trying to activate funding to build a border wall. But he made a rather big boo-boo during his press conference today. We will play that for you. We'll give you the Democratic response to that. Ann Coulter also going after the President of the United States. What's the biggest problem with the President's national emergency declaration? Well, it's actually the budget bill that he signed today as well. We'll talk about it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com. what is happening in the state of Jefferson. Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
When you need assistance applying for veteran benefits, consider utilizing the Shasta County Veteran Service Office. Our veteran representatives are all military veterans that are highly trained and fully accredited, giving you the best support possible. This is Celestina Traver, your Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. We welcome you to our office at 1855 Shasta Street to see what benefits are awaiting you. Please call us at 225-5616.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call him at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury.
Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit PVA.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we're discussing President Trump's national emergency declaration. The biggest obstacle to Trump declaring a national emergency is actually the budget bill that he just signed, because that budget bill not only suggests that it's not a national emergency at the border, it also suggests that he doesn't even have the authority to build more wall. Daniel Horowitz has a good piece over at Conservative Review where he discusses this at length. He points out that this is less of a wall than even what Democrats agreed to back in December. But most importantly, the section of the bill talking about constructing barriers limits the construction of the barriers to the Rio Grande Valley sector and says no other money shall be used to build fencing anywhere else. So it's unclear that you can declare a national emergency to build fencing anywhere else when they literally the same day passed a budget signed by President Trump that limits the building of fence to this particular area. It's like me signing a contract with you today that you are going to build the outer fence along my property, and then me saying, but also I'm going to force you to build the fence along three other properties. You say, well, we have a contract and it's just to build this fence right here along your property, not the three other properties adjacent. Courts tend to look at legislation and take that more seriously than using authority from 1976 to declare an over-the-top declaration. Furthermore, as Horowitz points out, Section 232A of the bill says prior to any use of any funds made available by this act for the construction of physical barriers, DHS shall confer and seek to reach mutual agreement regarding the design and alignment of physical barriers within that city. In other words, the feds now have to consult people alongside the local border barrier and get their permission and work things out with them. Well, again, there's one problem with that, which is those locals tend to be very left on the most trafficked sections of the border. So it's going to be very difficult to get those people to sign off. This is why Daniel Horowitz suggests that maybe the national emergency declaration simply won't fly. Then President Trump made a boo-boo today and he undermined his own case. He was talking about the national emergency, and again, he gaffes every so often, and it's very bad for him. You recall he did this with Lester Holt with regard to James Comey. He went on with Lester Holt and said that he fired James Comey over the Russia stuff, which prevented him from being able to say he just fired him for general incompetence. Well, today, during his press conference, President Trump was asked about the national emergency declaration, and he said, well, I didn't have to declare a national emergency.
We have so much money. But on the wall, they skimped. So I was successful in that sense, but I want to do it faster. I could do the wall over a longer period of time. I didn't need to do this, but I'd rather do it much faster.
Okay, I could do the wall over a longer period of time, but I want to do it much faster. Well, that suggests you don't actually have to declare a national emergency. Just because you want to do it much faster doesn't mean that it's an emergency to do it much faster. Now, the counterargument is that what he's actually saying, what the president is trying to say here, is he is trying to suggest, very poorly phrased, very awkward, what he's trying to suggest is that, yeah, over time I could invoke various statutes to make this happen, but it is a national emergency, and so we have to do it fast. Maybe that's what he's trying to say. That is not how it came out. This led Nancy Pelosi to jump in and suggest that Trump himself does not actually believe that this is a national emergency. She put out a statement suggesting exactly that. She put out a statement saying he admits it's a fake Trump emergency. Hear him say it. I didn't need to do this, but I'd rather do it much faster. Chuck Schumer then did the same thing. He tweeted out, I didn't need to do this, but I'd rather do it much faster. Mr. President, how can this possibly be a national emergency if you're saying you don't need to do it? AOC, of course, tweeted the same thing. So fresh, so face. She tweeted out, I didn't need to do this means he's faking a crisis. And that's what a lot of the other folks online are suggesting. They're suggesting this undercuts the president's legal authority, that now his opponents are going to be able to just point to that quote and say he's declaring a national emergency, and he himself says he could do this more slowly. Again, I think that that's probably a misread of what President Trump is saying. I think if you play that clip again, what the President of the United States is trying to say is that he could do this over a longer period of time using various methods of authority at his disposal. He wants to do it now because it's a national emergency. He wants to do it faster. Again, I think the strongest legal case against the president is that he doesn't have the inherent authority to build border wall. That's a domestic political issue that is not a national emergency. And even if it were a national emergency, the specific statutes he is citing do not allow him to build border wall wherever he pleases. He either has to do it alongside a drug corridor, or he has to do it for supporting the military. And thus far, the military is not in control of the border. It's domestic law enforcement that is in control of the border. That's the strong case against Trump's national security declaration. I don't think that that statement that he made that's being taken slightly out of context, I don't think that's the strongest case for Democrats. Meanwhile, Ann Coulter is on a rampage. She is very, very upset with the President of the United States. She came out and she called President Trump a man about whom she wrote a book called In Trump We Trust. She called him an idiot today because of his decision to sign that border budget bill and then to declare a national emergency.
So forget the fact that he's digging his own grave. This is just, look, the only national emergency is that our president is an idiot.
Okay, and the reason that she says that is because she believes that the budget bill itself obviates the possibility of him building the border wall. In fact, she tweeted out that column I was talking about from Daniel Horowitz. Daniel Horowitz wrote, "The goal of a national emergency is to end illegal immigration and cartel smuggling. Building 100 to 200 miles of fencing gradually will not do it. With this new amnesty, they, meaning unaccompanied children, will come anywhere, including points of entry, and not only get amnesty for themselves, but for those here." Because one of the aspects of this border budget bill is a provision that says that it is illegal, to deport anyone who claims to be a sponsor of an unaccompanied minor at the border. So you bring an unaccompanied minor to the border, you cite some local person who happens to reside in the United States and is an illegal immigrant, and that person now can no longer be deported. And the bill goes even further. It says anybody who lives in that household cannot be deported. So that seems like a blank slate for people to bring unaccompanied minors into the United States, and then immediately everybody is immune to prosecution if you show up to claim the kid. That's why Ann Coulter is very upset today. President Trump fought back against Ann Coulter. He says, "I barely know her, but she's wrong on this one." Here's the president going after Coulter.
Ann Coulter. I don't know her, but the press loves saying Ann Coulter. Probably if I did speak to her, she'd be very nice. I just don't have the time to speak to her. So I like her, but she's off the reservation. But anybody that knows her understands that.
Okay, so, you know, the president obviously fighting back against Coulter because Coulter was his number one proponent during the primary, specifically because he had declared that he would build a wall. Now he feels undercut by her. The idea that he doesn't know her is nonsense. Of course, they know each other. She's taken pictures with him. They have campaigned together. It's not true that the president doesn't know Ann Coulter. But distancing himself from her, you sort of understand why he's doing it. There's a good reason that he's doing it, namely that by doing so, he's able to continue to maintain that he wants to build the border wall, and it's not all just a political ploy. So that's the latest with the border wall. Meanwhile, there are a bunch of Republicans who have come out and they've said that they have at least some serious questions about the National Emergency Declaration. Marco Rubio said, quote, "We have a crisis at our southern border, but no crisis justifies violating the Constitution. Today's national emergency is border security, but a future president may use this exact same tactic to impose the Green New Deal. I will wait to see what statutory or constitutional power the president relies on to justify such a declaration before making any definitive statement." Virtually every Republican senator has said that. The president came out with the National Security National Emergency Declaration. He says he is citing 10 U.S.C. 2808, which activates the military. Most of the Republicans have not yet responded. Senator Ted Cruz has said the same. He says that Democrats' intransigence has left the president with no other choice but to take executive action. "I'm a constitutionalist. I've long advocated that every president be bound by the Constitution and federal laws. I'll wait to see the specific course." Rand Paul did the same. Senator Mike Lee said the same thing. He just said that his initial assessment is that what President Trump announced is in fact legal. He added, "Whether or not it should be legal is a different matter. Congress has been ceding far too much power to the executive branch for decades. We should use this moment as an opportunity to start taking that power back." And this does raise an interesting question. And the interesting question it raises is, let's say that the Democrats bring up a bill to dramatically curtail the power of the presidency to use national emergency declarations. Should Republicans support it or not? Now, the natural instinct, I know, listen, I'm a conservative. I support the border wall. The natural instinct is to say, Republicans should oppose any bill that limits national emergency declarations because Trump has to build that border wall. I think there is an equally strong, maybe stronger case that Republicans should be looking a little bit down the line here and recognizing that if President Trump can declare a national emergency to build a border wall, why can't a Democrat declare a national emergency to cut off funding for particular industries in the United States or to affect particular domestic political institutions? Nancy Pelosi yesterday was claiming that gun violence is some sort of national emergency. Democrats are declaring that climate change is a national emergency. Wouldn't it be better, as sort of an inside-outside game, for President Trump to declare a national emergency and Congress to vote to remove that power from the executive branch so that if a Democrat were to take the White House at any point, they wouldn't be able to extend the national emergency power to all of these broad categories? I'm not sure, frankly, that a border wall is worth the risk here, especially given the fact the president can still build border wall in drug corridor areas without invoking a national emergency under 10 U.S.C. 284. We'll get to a little bit more on this in just a second. First, let's talk about your sleep quality. So, there's nobody on the planet built like you. Why would you buy a generic mattress built for somebody else? Helix Sleep has built a sleep quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress. Whether you're a side sleeper or a hot sleeper, whether you like a plush or a firm bed with Helix, there's no more guessing and no more confusion. Just go to helixsleep.com/Shapiro, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they will match you to a mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. For couples, Helix can even split the mattress down the middle, providing individual support needs and feel preferences for each side. They've got a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. Right now, Helix is offering up to $125 off all mattress orders. Get up to $125 off at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. That's helixsleep.com/Shapiro for $125 off your mattress order. helixsleep.com/Shapiro. My wife and I have a Helix Sleep mattress. It is indeed fabulous. We took that 2-minute sleep quiz. The mattress arrived in the mail. Very shortly thereafter, we just unwrapped it and inflated. We put it on the bed. Supremely comfortable. So good. We got one for my sister for her wedding. Go check them out right now at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Get up to $125 off any mattress order over there. All right. So Democrats, the counterargument here, I suppose, is that Democrats are going to use national emergency power anyway. They're not going to feel limited by precedent. But again, if you feel like Democrats are going to violate every rule anyway, then we really shouldn't have checks and balances at all. Republicans in Congress should basically allow the president to do whatever he wants along the executive branch lines, because now we're at full-scale crisis mode. If you believe we're at full-scale crisis mode, then the end of the democracy is nigh. Then why would you care about any institutional constraints on the presidency? I do care about institutional constraints. I'm in favor of strengthening them. So if President Trump declares this national emergency and the possibility arises of curtailing national emergency power, and Trump can still invoke 10 U.S.C. 284 to build fencing along border corridors, I think that that's not the world's worst idea. And it's, okay, now, the president did have a couple of great moments during this particular press conference. One, he had another confrontation with Jim Acosta that was pretty delicious. So he talked about members of the media. The media tried to confront him, and he basically slammed them. Here he was going after some members of the media during his presser today.
And that
there's
most
no violence on the
there's
border?
Not as much violence
oh, really?
As
let me, you had
wait
26
a minute, wait,
people
let me finish the
killed.
Question please let me finish the question
2 weeks
please.
Ago 26 people were killed
I
in a gunfight on the border
I understand what you're
a
saying.
Mile away from where I went
sort and
of,
secondly
sort of, no you get one you get
well,
one
well the second
just
question
sit down.
Is,
wait sit down sit down
could you please
sit
answer.
Down you get one question
well good for the president because honestly no press person would have treated Barack Obama that way and when they did people went nuts. The attempt of a reporter to speak over the president and then to get in the second question, pretty ridiculous. Also, President Trump went after Jim Acosta from CNN. Find you someone on Valentine's Day who loves you like Jim Acosta loves Jim Acosta. The president went after him again. Acosta suggested that Trump was manipulating, it was a fake emergency, and Trump said, your question is a very political one because you have an agenda. You are CNN, you are fake news, which is one of President Trump's favorite standbys and nearly always applies to Jim Acosta, by the way, so almost always apt. Okay, we're going to get to in just a second the Ben Shapiro Show mailbag. It's the end of the week. We should take some of your questions. But first, let's talk about how you can get more from this show. The easiest way to get more from the show is to go over to dailywire.com and subscribe. Then you can see all of our clips. You can see all of our guests. You can see everything happening behind the scenes. And you can ask me questions during the breaks. I'll converse with you. You get all 3 hours commercial-free on demand when you go to dailywire.com and click on the subscribe button at the top of the page. That doesn't just include my show. It also includes Michael Knowles' show, Andrew Klavan's show, the Matt Walsh show. Plus, right now, you get the exclusive Leftist Tears Tumblr with an annual subscription, so you can drink your leftist tears or coffee or tea or whatever you're into, hot or cold. Go to dailywire.com, click on the subscribe button at the top of the page right now. There is no other way to get all 3 hours of The Ben Shapiro Show on demand. Go to dailywire.com, click on that subscribe button at the top of the page, and you will then have enormous, terrific, tremendous, unbelievable access to this show and others over at dailywire.com. Click on that subscribe button at the top of the page. Go check it out right now. Okay, so in just a second, we are going to get to some of your questions, and I will bring you answers from the Ben Shapiro Show Mailbag Plus. Next hour, we're going to be talking Jussie Smollett. The hoax is complete. It turns out that this looks like a racial hoax. Looks like Jussie Smollett, the guy from Empire, looks like that guy was making up his story and was working with his friends to make up the story. We'll bring you all the details. We'll bring you the details of Democrats going fully radical on the border. Coming up, though, we take some of your questions in the mailbag. So stick around for that. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
This is the Savage Nation.
EMP expert Dr. William Forstgen. U.S. will cease to exist. 90% of population will die. I don't think that's news to you, right?
Both Korea and Iran have put out videos, which you can find on YouTube, of us being hit by an EMP. The leader of North Korea openly said, we're going to EMP you. That's it.
The Savage Nation. Listen for free online on your favorite podcast app from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com. If you have hard water, the Limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate Limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Okay, time for a couple entries in the mailbag. So, Jared says, Hi Ben, I'm a freshman at a small Christian university in southern Michigan. One of my required courses is devoted to a study of the Old Testament. It got me wondering, who is your favorite biblical character and why? Thanks for all of your hard work. Well, I mean, every Jew is obligated by law to say Moses, because Moses is, of course, the progenitor of Judaism. He was the man who brought down the tablets from the mountaintop. He also happens to be an incredibly tragic character. He basically commits one serious sin, and there's argument about even what that sin is, and then God doesn't allow him to lead the Jewish people into Israel. So it would have to be Moses. I have a sneaking fondness for Saul, who I feel is one of the more interesting characters in biblical literature because he obviously suffered from manic depression, and you can see that in the literature. And he was somebody who's trying to do his best but was limited by his own flaws, so he's almost a Shakespearean tragic character. And the character of Phineas is an interesting character as well. Phineas, of course, was famous for his zealotry. You'll recall that in the book of, well, it's Bamidbar, in the book of Numbers, Phineas, there's a situation where somebody's committing an open sin and Phineas takes up a spear and goes and kills that person out of zealousness. And there's a whole argument in Jewish law about when you can do this and when you can't. Really interesting argument. Those are a couple of my favorites. Joshua says, Hi Ben, I'm currently applying to medical school and I'm shocked by how new science has pervaded the entire process. When studying for the MCAT, I learned that the official AAMC, the company that makes the test, prep materials and practice exams, essentially guaranteed a question stating that gender has no biological basis. The vast majority of secondary applications to school had a checkbox for if I identified as part of the LGBTQ community. There were leading interview questions to discuss how gender norms are different in other countries. Do you have any advice on how to approach this issue in medical school? Is it better to duck my head down until I practice or to be more outspoken throughout? Shabbat shalom. Well, you know, I think keeping your head down is probably the smart move. I'm practical when it comes to this. The question is, what is the purpose of the conversation? If the purpose of the conversation is to tell the truth and to speak your opinion, say what you want. But I assume that there are lots of areas of American practice in medicine where you might have political disagreements. For example, if you're asked a question about how abortion is done and you say, listen, I don't think I need to know that because I'm a religious person, I'm not going to perform an abortion. Is that answer calibrated to get you to your goal? The answer is probably not. You do have to play some games when it comes to American professional life, and that's unfortunate. It is also a demonstration that we should have accredited medical schools that don't participate in this kind of garbage. The fact that the scientific establishment has been taken over by politically correct anti-scientific nonsense, it's really devastating. It's devastating to watch as objective science is tossed out in favor of subjective silliness that is pumped into medical institutions by politically motivated actors. Nathan says, there are several studies in the academic literature detailing the correlation between perceived discrimination and the health of an individual. In addition, there's no doubt in my mind that actual discrimination is negatively correlated to health. This led me to wonder about the effects that identity politics and intersectionality have had on the health of Americans, especially in the minority community. But I couldn't find a study that looked at all three: actual discrimination, perceived discrimination, and health at the same time. That said, can you point to anything that has correlated perceived discrimination with negative health while also determining the accuracy of the group's perceptions? This is a fantastic question, and it's a question I've asked repeatedly. So there are a lot of studies in the recent past about how black women die in childbirth more often, have more unhealthy babies, and the suggestion has been made that this is the result of systemic discrimination. I have real doubts that the medical establishment is severely undercovering black women who are in labor or pregnant. When there are higher maternal mortality rates, higher baby mortality rates in the black community, those things are largely linked to birth weight, and birth weight is largely linked to living style, what you eat and such, and also youth. If you're younger, if you're a teenager when you have a baby, you tend to have low birth weight problems. But the studies also tend to show that women who perceive discrimination are more likely to suffer stress and therefore to suffer pregnancy-related complications. The question that no one has ever been able to verify or ask is how much of the perceived discrimination is real. Now, here I bring up a very famous statement by Adam Carolla that I think is true. I'm not saying that people are hallucinating racism. I'm saying that there's lots of action in life every day that can either be perceived as people being stupid or perceived as actual discrimination. So when I was growing up, for example, my dad had a tendency when I was much younger. I think he's grown out of it now. But when I was much younger, my dad had a tendency where if he saw somebody mistreat a Jew for some reason, he would immediately assume that it was anti-Semitism. And I would say, well, maybe it's not anti-Semitism. Maybe it's the person just being a jerk. Adam Carolla has said the same. He says, listen, if I were a black person driving down the highway and I were pulled over by the cops, I would immediately assume it was racial profiling. Maybe it's just the cop being a tool. Maybe it's just the cop being a jerk or a bad guy, because it turns out that lots of white people get pulled over for no reason by the cops. Or maybe it turns out that I am not correctly perceiving my own activity and I actually did violate the law. There's really no way, except for cases like murder, right, where there's a documented effect, to look at racial discrimination in, for example, the criminal justice system. The only way to match up police discrimination would be to match up, for example, the number of calls to the police describing perps of a particular race to the number of arrests that are made by the police of a particular race. It turns out those percentages match up exactly. In other words, perception of human beings is notoriously unreliable, and studies that take as their basis that perceived discrimination equals actual discrimination are likely to be off.
This is Tracy Edwards. Join the Redding Rancheria for its 2019 Black and White Year to Remember, Saturday, March 2nd at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Tickets include dinner, awards presentations, and silent auction. Celebrate the 51 organizations we were able to help in 2018. One organization receiving an additional gift of $10,000. All proceeds from this event benefit the Redding Rancheria Community Fund. So come experience the Redding Rancheria Black and White Year to Remember, Saturday, March 2nd at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Call Maria Orozco at 242-4516 for info or tickets.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Police say the gunman who killed five people at a suburban Chicago business was a 15-year employee who was being fired. Aurora Police Chief Kristen Zeman says 45-year-old Gary Martin was being terminated Friday afternoon before he opened fire at the Henry Pratt Company warehouse in Aurora. Five police officers were also shot and wounded before Martin was located in the warehouse. Zeman says Martin was shot and killed. Aurora is about 40 miles west of Chicago. An invasion at the southern border has prompted the president to issue a national emergency declaration. Here's correspondent Greg Clugston.
The president says the U.S. needs many more miles of border wall because of illegal drugs, human traffickers, and gangs coming in from Mexico. And he blames Congress for not approving enough wall money.
I want to do it faster. I could do the wall over a longer period of time. I didn't need to do this. But I'd rather do it much faster.
The emergency declaration is already drawing bipartisan criticism on Capitol Hill and is expected to face rounds of legal challenges. Greg Clugston, the White House.
Meanwhile, correspondent Bob Agner reports that Democrats are considering a number of political and legal challenges to the president's declaration of a national emergency.
One of the first actions likely from Democrats would be to seek a resolution of disapproval. Under the Congressional Review Act, it allows Congress via joint resolution to overturn recently enacted regulations by a federal agency. Such an effort would now easily pass a Democrat-controlled House, but would need the support of at least four Republicans in the Senate. Then, to override a certain presidential veto, it would require a very unlikely two-thirds majority in both chambers. Bob Agner reporting.
Payless Shoe Source confirmed Friday, it will close all of its stores in the U.S. beginning next week. This will be the largest retail liquidation ever. It will retain stores in Canada and Latin America. More on these stories at townhall.com.
When it comes to your pain, many of you might be skeptical, like I was, about ordering Relief Factor. Pat Boone again for this wonderful 100% drug-free supplement designed to help your own body lower or eliminate occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, everyday living. I'm not skeptical any longer. The 3-week quick start is now discounted to only $19.95. Why don't you let us see if we can get you out of pain, too, at ReliefFactor.com.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper in credit card debt? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management will consolidate your accounts and work with your creditors. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
British Prime Minister Theresa May suffered another defeat by lawmakers Thursday in a vote that left her bid to secure a European Union divorce deal stuck between an intransigent EU and a resistant UK Parliament in limbo, with Brexit just 6 weeks away. UK House of Commons leader Andrea Leadsom says the government's trying to find a solution.
We are continuing with our plan A, which is to deal with the issues that Parliament raised 2 weeks ago, making very clear that what they want to see is alternative arrangements to the backstop that doesn't mean the UK can be trapped in a backstop permanently against our will. That is what the government is continuing to do.
But the latest vote was disappointing.
Labour decided to vote against the government for political reasons. Some of my colleagues on the Conservative benches decided to abstain because they felt that approving that motion could imply that they wanted to take no deal off the table.
News and analysis at townhall.com. A trail runner is recounting his life or death fight with a mountain lion. Here's correspondent Ed Donahue.
Travis Kaufman was running a trail in the mountains last week west of Fort Collins, Colorado, when he heard pine needles rustle behind him.
Pretty bummed out to see a mountain lion chasing after me.
The cat lunged at Kaufman.
It started to claw at my face and neck, and that's when kind of my fear response turned into more of a fight response.
He tried to hit the cat with a rock to the head and stab it with sticks. It didn't work. Kaufman shifted his weight, and he said he screamed a barbarian yell and got his foot on its neck.
It finally stopped moving, and then jaws opened, and I was able to kind of scramble back up the hill.
Kaufman received 28 stitches. At 5'10", 155 pounds, he says This story is bigger than his puny form. I'm Ed Donahue.
More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
Vintage Public House in downtown Reading invites you in to experience their newly remodeled restaurant, now featuring your favorite classic cocktails, Sunday brunch, and more. Have brunch with Vintage and enjoy entrees like chicken and waffles with house-made rum syrup, sweet corn cakes, eggs benedict with crispy pancetta, a mimosa bar with a variety of juices and fresh fruit, and Bloody Marys. Every Sunday from 10 to 2. From appetizers to entrees, lunch, dinner, and now brunch. Vintage Public House. For more information, follow on Facebook or check out their website, VintageReading.com. Located at the corner of Market and Sacramento across from the Cascade Theater.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Stacked hour for you here. We're going to be jumping into Amazon pulling out of New York and journalists defending crazy leftists for causing that pullout. We're also going to be talking about the incredible radicalism of the Democrats. I mean, legitimately, they get more radical every single day. And this hour, a new episode of Uncle Ben's SJW Storytime. We have a brand new children's book for you. I mean, you're going to be into it. I'm just telling you. But we are joined right now by Andy Ngo. He is a journalist and photographer and editor at Quillette, and he is the host of Things You Should Know. So, Andy, thanks so much for joining the Ben Shapiro Show.
Thank you so much for having me on and spending time talking about the story of Jussie Smollett with your listeners. I really admire that when you were just 19, you confronted Al Sharpton about Tawana Brawley, and I feel like there's some deja vu with these Smollett allegations.
Well, Andy, as a journalist, you've been following the Jussie Smollett allegations. For people who missed the story, basically Jussie Smollett claimed that he was walking home at 2 a.m. from a subway, and he was accosted by two guys who proceeded to shout the F word and the N word at him and say he was the star from Empire, loop a rope around his neck, throw bleach on him, shout, "This is MAGA country," and then break or bruise his ribs. At which point, he apparently got up, still holding his Subway sandwich, went home, did nothing for 40 minutes, called the police, refused to turn over his phone. Andy, can you kind of take us through his story and how it changed over time? Because he's changed his stories a bunch of times, and now there's breaking information. So we'll get to the breaking information in a second. First, let's give the background. How did Jussie Smollett's story change over time?
So the story was reported by TMZ, and the story broke days after the whole Covington story fell apart, and the initial claims by a source close to Jussie is that he was viciously attacked by masked men who were supporters of Donald Trump, who made a reference to "This is MAGA country" and made homophobic and racist slurs against him. For me, when I first heard this story, I was just, it seemed a little bit, it was too outrageous for me to just take at face value, because the description of these suspects were so cartoony. It was kind of like if somebody who didn't know much about a Trump supporter was trying to imagine what they would be like, this is what that narrative sounded like. His story started to have to spur some doubts in public opinion when he spoke about this incident at a concert that he performed at. I thought it was strange that he read from a card. It just didn't seem like how somebody would respond naturally as a victim. And then he also hired an expensive crisis PR firm that also represented accused sexual predator Harvey Weinstein. He allegedly had bruised ribs but was able to perform and sing at a concert. So these are like important little things that just made me skeptical of it. Over the past 24 hours, the story has kind of really fallen apart because now the Chicago police have two men who have been arrested, and they apparently, according to reports, know him personally, and one of them was on the show Empire. So this whole the phantom suspects of these Trump supporters who were white, that's fallen apart.
And we do have pictures of the suspects, both of whom are of Nigerian descent, both of whom were who were extras on the show on which Jussie Smollett appeared. Both of them were apparently gym friends with him, so they knew him. And there were rumors going around that the way that they had originally been identified by Chicago PD is apparently via, at least in part, the phone logs of Jussie Smollett himself. So, Andy, you're a journalist, but you also happen to be a gay Asian man. You know, was there anything about this story? I mean, you suggest that from the very beginning this seemed outrageous to you. As a gay Asian man, a gay minority in the United States, how often do you think that number one, these sort of hoaxes take place? And number two, how often do you think that hate crimes of such an obvious and over-the-top nature are a reality? Do you think that's happening very much?
So if this turns out to be a hoax, as local media reports, I think it really illustrates how sick our society is, how ill we are. We've come to a place where we really worship victimhood and place more value in it than being heroic or charitable or kind. And as somebody who happens to be gay, I particularly resent that minorities are being encouraged to be fragile and bitter. And I think this country is in the middle of a race panic. There's been race panics in the past. In the 90s, there was claims that black churches in the South were being burned by white supremacists. That was untrue. We have the data on hate crime statistics from the FBI, and the numbers are very low for this country's population size. But even if you look at the demographics of the offenders, it does complicate the intersectionality narrative. Blacks are overrepresented as victims, but as offenders as well. And my emotional response to how this story has played out is that I'm particularly critical of the leftist politicians and writers who exploited the incident to smear the character of this country and their fellow Americans. And I find that offensive coming from a family of refugees. And if you go on my Twitter, I've chronicled some of the hateful things that people have said when the story first broke. And it just shows that we have a lot of narcissists in power who apparently have really black hearts.
Well, Andy Ngo is a journalist and photographer, editor at Quillette, and he's been following the Jussie Smollett story really closely. Andy, thanks so much for your insight. Thanks for following the story so closely. And thanks for being skeptical, because apparently everyone who is skeptical is now considered a racist until further notice. So I appreciate you doing the hard work out there, my friend.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, meanwhile, CNN is reporting that the two men who were arrested were indeed friends with Jussie Smollett. Earlier on Friday, police spokesman Anthony Guglielmi said two Nigerian brothers were being treated as potential suspects and that detectives had probable cause that they may have been involved in an alleged crime. Police did not say at the time precisely what the brothers were accused of or what the alleged crime might have been. Smollett told authorities he was attacked by two men who lobbed racial and homophobic slurs at him. He told TMZ originally, he and his representatives, that MAGA country was shouted at him, which makes no sense. These are two Nigerian brothers who were friends with him. According to Guglielmi of the CPD, interrogations will resume today with the two individuals and their attorney. While we haven't found any video documenting the alleged attack, there is also no evidence to say that this is a hoax. Okay, so they're trying to claim right now that it's not a hoax. It just happens that two of his friends flew in from the West Coast and then proceeded to attack him in the middle of the night on a city street, leaving a rope around his neck and bleaching him, and then ran away without him identifying them, even though he knew them and knew who they were. So I think there's some justified suspicion as to whether the CPD is downplaying the possibility that these guys were complicit in a hoax itself. Because if it turns out this was a racial hoax and that they spent thousands of man hours and presumably hundreds of thousands of dollars pursuing the story to its natural termination, that Jussie Smollett would have to go to jail, right? I mean, if this is a racial hoax, you have to prosecute him for telling lies to the police, obviously. Police said on Thursday they were questioning the two men after meeting them at Chicago O'Hare International Airport Wednesday night. They said they were not considered suspects, and then today they were arrested. So CPD is apt to change its mind rather quickly. CPD said the alleged victim is being cooperative at this time and continues to be treated as a victim, not as a suspect. That's only going to last as long as it lasts. It is hilarious to note how the media played up the allegations of Jussie Smollett. He was on Good Morning America yesterday suggesting that anyone who doubted any aspect of his story was doing so out of blatant racism, and that the reason that he didn't call the police in the first place is because he just didn't want to be perceived as weak as a gay man.
Why did you hesitate to call the police?
There's a level of pride there. We live in a society where, as a gay man, you are considered somehow to be weak. And I'm not weak. I'm not weak. And we, are, as a people, are not weak.
Okay, what a nonsense explanation. Obviously, no one suggests that gay men are weak when they call the police after they're victims of a hate crime. That's absurd. But none of this story held together from the very beginning, and now it continues to fall apart. The media jumped on it with both feet. Politicians jumped on it with both feet because it backed a narrative, and that's all that matters to the media is the narrative. The facts don't matter. Waiting doesn't matter. Only the narrative matters. We're going to get to more of narrative and narrative drawing from the media, this time about Amazon.com in just a second. First, let's talk about your problems with the IRS. It's bad enough that your IRS problems ruined last year. Are you really going to drag that nightmare into the new year? Consider what's at stake when the IRS has you in their sights. Your paycheck, your bank account, your business, even your home. You're smart. You know better than to deal with the IRS alone. You need expert help, and the folks at Optima Tax Relief can give you that help. Optima Tax Relief is America's number one tax resolution firm. Optima knows that behind every tax problem, there are honest, hardworking Americans with families, paychecks, bank accounts to protect. When you engage Optima to fight for you and protect what's yours, you are getting a proven award-winning team, a team who can help stop the aggressive collection actions and help put your IRS problem behind you. That's how Optima has saved nearly $1 billion for their clients. Call for your free consultation while you still have options. Call 800-956-6166, 800-956-6166. That's 800-956-6166. Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. Don't face the IRS alone. That is a huge mistake. Don't do it. Check out the folks at Optima Tax Relief if you need help. 800-956-6166. The reason that this Jussie Smollett story got so much play is because Jussie Smollett knew that it was going to get play. This is the reality. There are lots of racial hoaxes that make all sorts of media all the time in this country. If we just went through the list of racial hoaxes in America these days, it is stunning. It is stunning how many campus hate crimes and hoaxes have been debunked in the last couple of years alone. In 2017, there were 10 hate crimes and hoaxes that happened on America's college campuses that were debunked just in 2017. Okay, this stuff does happen. This is why whenever you hear somebody in the media say, believe all women, believe all black people, believe all Jews, believe all people who claim victimization, you cannot believe all people who claim victimization because sometimes they're not telling the truth. Sometimes they have an ulterior motive, or sometimes they just want attention. This is why we have to wait for facts when an accusation is made. It's why we can't jump to the immediate conclusion that the people we wish were guilty actually are guilty. But the media not only wish to jump to those conclusions, they wish to force you to jump to those conclusions. If you say, hold up a second, this story sounds suspicious, they say the only reason you think the story sounds suspicious is because you don't take racism and homophobia seriously enough. If you did, you would know. If you did, you would know that this sort of thing is happening every day on America's streets. Well, I promise you this. If it were happening every day on America's streets, there'd be a lot more news stories about it, wouldn't there? The reason that the Jussie Smollett story got so much pickup at the very beginning is because it is a rarity that hits every one of the intersectional checkboxes the left has thrown out there. But the story no longer does that, because now the perpetrators, it appears, were black folks who knew the alleged victim in this particular case. Now it's a black-on-black crime. The media don't care about that story anymore. So watch as Jussie Smollett's story just degrades in the media. The media no longer cover it. It no longer becomes an important thing. Over the next week, as new revelations come out, they will just be tossed into the background because the media didn't get what they wanted in this story. When they do get what they want, when they continue to be able to try and claim that a bunch of white high school kids are harassing a Native American, falsely, at the Lincoln Memorial, then they'll keep pushing the story. I think now they're going to make the natural move that the media typically make, which is at least Jussie Smollett raised serious questions. This raised serious questions about Trump's America. Trump's America, a place where we even had to the fact we even had to take a story like this seriously shows that Trump's America is a terrible place. Or alternatively, the fact that we all took the story seriously, no matter how ridiculous it was, shows that we're pretty sensitive to these issues, number one. And number two, The fact that it's such a rarity shows that we're a pretty great country. Okay, in a second, we are going to get to Amazon pulling out of New York City and the media trying to find ways to defend Democrats from their own stupidity. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you can't seem to stay ahead of your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. This program has been used by thousands to legally forgive millions in unsecured debt. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven from what you owe your creditors. Call for free information and get all your questions answered in the first free call. The more you owe, the more you can save. If you have at least $10,000 or more in credit card bills, this debt forgiveness program can be very effective. Call for free information and find out more now. 800-291-6670. There is no cost or obligation for the information. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Get your debt problem solved. Call 800-291-6670 today. Not available in North Dakota.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
This is the Savage Nation.
EMP expert Dr. William Forstchen. U.S. will cease to exist. 90% of population will die. I don't think that's news to you, right?
Both Korea and Iran have put out videos, which you can find on YouTube, of us being hit by an EMP. The leader of North Korea openly said, we're going to EMP you. That's it.
The Savage Nation. Listen for free online on your favorite podcast app from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Welcome back. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we reported on the show that Twitter had started banning people for using the phrase learn to code. Why? Because it was a joke directed at journalists who were being laid off. And apparently, there were a lot of sort of Reddit users who were harassing journalists. And honestly, as one of the people most harassed on Twitter, toughen up, journalists. Like, if someone tells you to learn to code and you just go into your closet and start crying to yourself, it seems to me that that is your problem, not a Twitter problem. But Twitter started banning people for tweeting the phrase, learn to code. Which, by the way, is a little funny, because it is true that there have been a lot of people, including Barack Obama, who suggested that if somebody loses their job in an impoverished community, what they really should do is learn to code. They should become an engineer. Anyone can become anything at any time. So people were tweeting at journalists, learn to code. They got banned. Here is a person who is not banned on Twitter today. The Ayatollah Khamenei from Iran, who still is on Twitter, and who literally tweeted this, just a few hours ago. Imam Khomeini's verdict regarding Salman Rushdie is based on divine verses, and just like divine verses, it is solid and irrevocable. 1990, June 5th. Okay, now, that may not mean a lot to you, but here's what that means. That was a fatwa on Salman Rushdie by Imam Ayatollah Khomeini, which was designed to end in the murder of Salman Rushdie. So this is the current Ayatollah of Iran, who is openly calling on Twitter for the renewed murder of Salman Rushdie. That tweet still appears on Twitter. So Learn to Code has been banned from Twitter, but not the Ayatollah Khamenei making the claim that Salman Rushdie should be murdered today. Yeah, Twitter doing a great job making the world a better place. It's always weird to watch all these tech billionaires talk about making the world a better place at the same time that they're going and doing goat yoga in Tibet or something while allowing Iran to put out whatever propaganda it feels like. Pretty astonishing stuff. I do have to give some credit today to Fareed Zakariyyeh, a guy who I'm not particularly fond of as a commentator, but he has a column today in the Washington Post with the stunning breaking news. Anti-Semitism has spread through the Islamic world like a cancer. I know. Don't have a heart attack. Don't gasp too loudly. Breaking news. Anti-Semitism has spread through the Islamic world like a cancer. But the fact that this was printed in the Washington Post is in and of itself a shock. What I love most about this piece by Fareed Zakariyyeh is that he starts off by talking about Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, but then he tries to defend them from charges of anti-Semitism. So he says, in recent weeks, attention has focused on two freshman Democratic members of Congress, Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, two of the fresh faces of the Democratic Party. So much freshness, so much faceness, endless levels of both freshness and faceness, both of whom are Muslim and have made critical statements about Israel and its most ardent American supporters. Their tweets and comments have been portrayed by some as not simply criticisms of Israel, but rather as evidence of a rising tide of anti-Semitism on the new left. I don't know what's in the hearts of the two representatives. It's so funny how many people on the left are willing to just go with the I don't know what's in their heart argument when they call Donald Trump a racist, when they say that Ralph Northam is a racist. They'll say that anybody is a racist, but when two open anti-Semites say openly anti-Semitic things, that is, I don't know what's in their hearts. I mean, these things are complex. Maybe they're not radical anti-Semites when they praise Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda, as Ilhan Omar did. Maybe they're not anti-Semites when they accuse American supporters of Israel of dual loyalty. I don't know what's in their hearts. Anyway, Fareed Zakariyyeh says, I believe that Muslims should be particularly thoughtful when speaking about these issues because anti-Semitism has spread through the Islamic world like a cancer. And then he says, Omar and Tlaib are not responsible for this in any way, of course, but they should be aware of this poisonous climate. Oh, you see, it's just ignorance. It's not that they are actively involved in the Islamic community and do interviews with people who call Israel the Jewish ISIS. It's not that they hobnob with Linda Sarsour. No, I guess that it must, you know what, they're not affected by their innocence. Their innocence abroad. They're just sort of walking around, being innocent, and their innocence shields them from the fact that they're actual radical anti-Semites. But at least, I'll give Fareed Zakariyyeh credit, he points out that Muslim anti-Semitism is significantly more prevalent than Christian anti-Semitism. It's twice as common among Muslims than among Christians, according to an Anti-Defamation League survey of 100 countries in 2014. And he points out that in France, it's become an actual sport for a lot of radical Muslims to target Jews. And then he talks about the long history of Jewish-Muslim relations. But the point I'm making is that it's really funny to watch as left members of the media, even recognizing certain basic truths, like anti-Semitism is rife in the worldwide Muslim community, trying to shield the narrative that Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib are not, in fact, anti-Semites, when both are obviously anti-Semites. The narrative above all. The narrative is all that matters to these folks. And speaking of the narrative above all, the media coverage of Amazon pulling out of New York is just fascinating. It's just fascinating because the attempts to paint Democrats as not having blown a massive deal and instead trying to paint them as freedom fighters, courageous people fighting for the little guy, I have to say it's pretty impressive. It is a pretty impressive effort. There's a headline today from CNN. The headline says, How Amazon Blew Its Chance in New York by Lydia DePillis of CNN Business. As David Burge, Iowa Hawk, on Twitter says, this headline is equivalent to, again, the headline is, How Amazon Blew Its Chance in New York. Burge says, this is the equivalent of how billionaire beauty queen blew her chance with morbidly obese, violent, syphilitic stalker. That is absolutely accurate. You want to know how Amazon blew this deal? By New York completely destroying the deal and then daring Amazon to leave. That's how they blew the deal. But don't worry, the Democrats are actually out there defending New York's radicalism today. Even the New York Times editorial board, it's worth noting, even the New York Times editorial board thinks that this is a stupid, stupid move by Democrats. The New York Times had an editorial today saying that anti-corporate activists got what they wanted at a great cost. When you are too far left for the New York Times editorial board, man, you've gone off the rails. But you know what? That's not going to hurt Democrats in their primaries. Coming up, we're going to talk about the radicalism of Democrats in these primaries because it is indeed radical. We'll talk about the latest with Amazon, the attempts to defend Democrats from the insanity of having sent a massive company outside New York City in order to do what? nothing except please the radical left, I suppose. We'll talk about all of that coming up. Plus, a little bit later, Uncle Ben's SJW story time will analyze an old children's book and demonstrate how America has fallen into patriarchy. This is the Ben.
Laura Ingram, Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Tom Gresham are only on KCNR 1460. KCNR 1460.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane of Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a foreign language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the New York Democrats pushed Amazon out of town. Even Bill de Blasio thinks this is crazy. Even the mayor of New York, who is a commie, thinks that AOC is a crazy person. According to the New York Post, it's a progressive civil war. A hot under the collar mayor, Bill de Blasio, tore into Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on Friday as he blistered both the online giant and local politicians who opposed bringing it to Queens. As a progressive my entire life, and I ain't changing, Bill de Blasio uses the word ain't a lot because he's very with the people. He says, I'll take on any progressive anywhere that thinks it's a good idea to lose jobs and revenue because I think that's out of touch with what working people want. Boom! Groundhog drop. Ocasio-Cortez, who lobbed bombs at the $3 billion incentive package offered by city and state leaders, said on Thursday that Amazon's withdrawal from the deal showed that everyday Americans still have the power to organize and fight for their communities, and they can have more in this country than the richest man in the world. Yeah. And then she said some real dumb stuff. So here is what AOC had to say. She was super excited about the... She was so excited! Like Jesse Spano on Saved by the Bell. She was very, very excited. Not because she was taking caffeine pills, but because Amazon was no longer going to be placing any jobs in her district. She was very pumped up about this.
I think it's incredible. I mean, it shows that everyday Americans still have the power to organize and fight for their communities, and they can have more say in this country than the richest man in the world. We could invest those $3 billion in our district ourselves if we wanted to. We could hire out more teachers. We can fix our subways. We can put a lot of people to work for that money if we wanted to. There was no guarantee that those jobs were for the New Yorkers that were here. I think that we can absolutely come together to create an economic plan that actually invests in New Yorkers.
Okay, this is legitimately the stupidest thing. So her suggestion is that Amazon was being given a tax break, which means they pay less in taxes, and that if Amazon leaves, now New York has more money. That's not how a tax break works. That's stupid. So as someone tweeted out, this is the equivalent of you walking in and ordering 25 pizzas and saying that you have a $10 off coupon, and AOC saying, no, you must pay full menu price. I will not accept your evil coupon. And the consumer saying, I'll just take my business elsewhere. And AOC saying, hey boss, I just saved us 10 bucks. Can I have a raise? Okay, then AOC responded to that tweet and she said, more like I'd like to order 25 pizzas. I made up this $300 off coupon and demand you take it. And if you want to talk about it at all, I'll leave. Okay, first of all, the expected tax revenue from Amazon was $27 billion, not $3 billion, $27 billion. So she says, this is like if somebody wanted to order 25 pizzas and then made up a $300 coupon. Except that Amazon didn't make up the coupon. New York made up the coupon. And then she says, Queen says, where did this coupon come from? $300 is too much. Who gave this to you? This is weird. And them saying, I told you, $300 off 25 pizzas. But she forgets the punchline, which is her saying, okay, we didn't sell any pizzas. I just saved us $300. What are we going to use that $300 for, guys? Is it possible she's just not very bright? I mean, I understand. Very fresh, very face and all of that. But is she just not that smart? I think maybe. Now, media are trying to spin this in favor of AOC and the Democrats. They are failing dramatically. As I say, there's a piece at CNN Business called How Amazon Blew Its Chance in New York, as though Amazon blew it. You're right. Amazon is off in the corner weeping to itself and then drying its eyes with million-dollar bills. According to CNN, the deal was supposed to be foolproof. Amazon put 2 years and untold amounts of staff time and money into negotiating with New York to save about $3 billion on a new campus in one of America's most dynamic cities. It bypassed legislative bodies to avoid getting bogged down in local politics, and it kept the whole process secret, allowing the company, the mayor, and the governor to present the agreement as a fait accompli. All those carefully laid plans vaporized when Amazon declared the Long Island City project dead Thursday morning. Where did Amazon go wrong? After staging a highly public auction that drew bids from hundreds of cities, the company attempted to craft uncrackable deals with its chosen cities that would avoid community input until most of the details were worked out. In New York, that may have led to the agreement's demise. So in other words, what they should have done is they should have bargained with AOC. Or, alternatively, they could have said, you know what, I'm not bargaining with AOC because she's a crazy person, so I'm just going to take my business and go to one of the other million cities across the United States that would die to have an Amazon headquarters here. I love that the sourness from people in New York on the left is just wonderful. It's reminiscent of when Obamacare was put in place and people started to raise the amount of money they were charging at restaurants. So I don't know if you remember this. There was this big spate of restaurants raising their prices to deal with the fact that they had new health care costs, so they started raising their customer prices. And they were put on the bill thanks to the new cost of Obamacare. And the left went crazy. How dare you acknowledge the realities of economics? You should be nicer. Be patriotic. Well, this is what Kara Swisher, who is a contributing opinion writer to the New York Times, is now saying. They say, Amazon isn't interested in making the world a better place. So, in other words, Amazon has to commit to paying AOC's tax rate and not going next door where they don't have to pay AOC's tax rate to make the world a better place. Here's what Kara Swisher writes. Again, this is just inane. The announcement on Thursday that Amazon has canceled its plan to build a headquarters in New York City is no victory. It's no defeat either. What it is, to use a Big Apple term, is meh. Yet another indication that the dulcet attractions of tech have lost their charm for many, and that the business, which has been this country's most innovative and promising and often its most inspirational, is just that. A business, like any other, out for itself and itself alone, and most definitely not changing the world for the better. If you see 25,000 new jobs in your area as not changing the world for the better, if you see a company that brings people on demand any product on earth for a cheap price, if you think that's not making the world better, if you think that 500,000 people employed and billions of dollars in profit created, that doesn't make the world better, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe you think that writing stupid editorials in the New York Times makes the world a better place. I'm fairly certain that Jeff Bezos and Amazon have done more than Kara Swisher to make the world a better place. And by the way, business writ large, with its profit motive, have done far more to raise billions from poverty than Kara Swisher pretending that what we really need is just a bit of goodwill. She says, that was the cry of tech from the start, especially of the internet types like Amazon head Jeff Bezos. Bankers never said they were going to make the world a better place, nor did makers of toilet paper or potato chips. Maybe soda makers like Coca-Cola said it in their ads. But we were all in on the joke when they told us that sugar water would bring the world together. But Silicon Valley truly believed its own myth, that tech leaders had arrived from the mountaintop to deliver the gleaming devices and magical software that would transform humanity and that they would never be evil. Now, listen, is it true that there were a bunch of foolish, aspirational, frankly, kind of tyrannical leaders in Silicon Valley who made those sorts of noises for years? Don't be evil. We're making the world a better place by imposing our values. Yeah, they were saying that kind of stuff. But those of us who exist in the real world knew that they were full of it. I mean, that's why on the show Silicon Valley, the company that Google, the company that imitates Google on Silicon Valley, it's called Hooli on the show. That's why the company, the great joke is that they say that their slogan is to make the world a better place and don't be evil, and it's the most evil company on planet Earth. Everybody knows that companies exist to make profits. They don't exist to do the will of do-gooders, who, by the way, once they're in control of government and business, tend to do less good and more damage. I mean, I'm not sour about Amazon being a company that profit seeks. I'm very positive about it. I think it's the best aspect of Amazon, frankly. I don't want Jeff Bezos cramming down his values on me. But according to the New York Times, he should. I mean, he should just engage in liberal do-goodism using the company. They said, Amazon is plenty tough, but it just decided to fold up its circus and tent and move on. It turns out it won't even take that show anywhere else. Instead, it says it will simply double down on its other second headquarters in the Washington area, which pretty much tells you that this was all a charade from the beginning. Many New Yorkers had cheered on the opposition, assuming it might persuade Amazon to strike a better deal with the city. They mostly agreed that more tech jobs would be good for New York, more than bad. But no one wanted to end up like San Francisco, which has become a modern hellscape, even as internet companies built their airy headquarters and become even richer. Their tax giveaways only exacerbated income inequality and offered no solutions. I love that New York is looking askance at San Francisco. There's one thing that New York has in common with San Francisco, you might notice. Something political. They are both wild left cities. They're both wild left cities. They both have tremendous income inequality. New York is not an income equal place. Neither is San Francisco. Left policies lead to more inequality, not less inequality. In a second, we're going to get to the increased radicalism of the Democrats. First, let's talk about your healthcare program. If you missed the deadline to sign up for healthcare insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not that happy with, you still do have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. They've been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared over $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Best of all, you can save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family, about $500 a month. Your savings could be more, they could be less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every single month. So, if you think that you are stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, time to think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so give them a call today and check it out. Just go to MediShare.com/Ben or call 844-51-BIBLE to find out more. There's no pressure. They're really easy to talk to. Find out how much you could save and why MediShare is so popular. Go to MediShare.com/Ben. That is MediShare.com/Ben or call 844-51-BIBLE for more information. That is 844-51-BIBLE. Once again, 844-51-BIBLE or MediShare.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. Okay, so the Democrats are so radical that the ones running for president are siding with AOC and not even siding with communist Bill de Blasio. Elizabeth Warren tweeted against Amazon. She tweeted, Amazon, one of the wealthiest companies on the planet, just walked away from billions in taxpayer bribes, all because some elected officials in New York aren't sucking up to them enough. How long will we allow giant corporations to hold our democracy hostage? Well, it seems to me that it's government that is holding giant corporations hostage by using the power of the government gun, pointing it at people and telling them to pay taxes. I don't know how a corporation would hold the government hostage. I really don't. I don't know how anyone would hold the government hostage. It turns out that the government has lots and lots of guns. If one force in America is likely to hold people hostage to get what they want, it's the force that can audit all of your taxes and then send armed men to come arrest you in the dead of night. Seems like they may have more to say in terms of taking hostages than Jeff Bezos. It's not taking a hostage when Jeff Bezos says, I don't want to pay New York taxes, I'm moving to Montana. That's just silliness. But Elizabeth Warren knows all of that. She's just pandering. She's not the only one, by the way. Beto O'Rourke from El Paso, Texas. That guy's also pandering. So you remember he ran for Senate in Texas, and he sort of campaigned as a reasonable, moderate, but progressive guy. No longer. Now he's just gone full-scale bat-bleep loony. He now says that he would actively remove border fencing between the United States and Mexico. I kid you not. Here is what Beto O'Rourke, punk rocker and radical dude, had to say.
If you could, would you take the wall down now? Here.
Yes.
Like you have a wall.
Absolutely.
Like knock it down.
I'd take the wall down.
And do you think the city, you think if there's a referendum here in this city, that would pass?
I do.
He does. Yeah, that's not going to pass. You're right. El Paso is going to say, let's tear down that wall so that the city across the border that had 2,000 murders last year can come here where we had 23 murders last year. Makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. Now, hilariously, it is really funny. You know, there's a psychological strategy that you use in negotiation. It's called anchoring. The way that anchoring works is that, let's say I'm negotiating with you on salary. I want to be the first one to choose a number. The reason is because now we're going to negotiate around my number. If I pick a low number, we're going to negotiate around the low number. If I pick a high number, we're going to negotiate around the high number. Anchoring is an effective strategy. Well, Beto is now politically anchoring. AOC is politically anchoring. What I mean by this is that they are picking ridiculous political positions, and then they are making Democrats position themselves around them. So Beto says, I want to tear down that wall, like the wall that protects us, not like the Berlin Wall, like the wall that protects us from predations on the other side of the border. Kirsten Gillibrand, who has held every single position, all of them, there are no positions Kirsten Gillibrand has not held. She was asked specifically about whether Beto is right in tearing down the wall. And Kirsten Gillibrand, sensing the progressive drift of her own party, she says, why, yeah, shockingly, yeah, it turns out I'm totally in favor of tearing down the wall. What Kirsten Gillibrand had to say. She says, if locals say it makes sense, I could support tearing down existing walls. She said, I would have to ask folks in that part of the country to see whether the fencing today is helpful or unhelpful. You know, Democrats are not unafraid of national security or border security. Democrats have funded border security for decades. And then she said that Trump's wall is a hateful message. So even in her one statement, she took three positions. Three positions in four lines. She said, we'd have to ask the folks in that part of the country. We also fund border security. Trump's wall is bad. That's three separate positions in four sentences. Yeah, that is the lady I can trust with power. All right, in just a second, we are going to get to Uncle Ben's SJW Storytime, a new feature of the Ben Shapiro Show. We bring it to you every Friday here. We're going to get to that in just a second. First, let's talk about how you can engage better with Daily Wire. Let's say that you wanted to actually see the children's book I'm about to read you. Well, you'd have to subscribe over at dailywire.com. When you subscribe, you not only get the entirety of my show commercial free, you also get the Michael Knowles show and the Andrew Klavan show. Also, you can ask me questions through our mailbag, which you heard last hour. You can also watch live and recorded episodes of all of the shows. And when you spend $99 and get the annual subscription, you get the Daily Wire beautiful tumbler. I mean, this thing is magnificent. The Leftist Tears hot or cold tumbler. You will enjoy every element of it. Go to dailywire.com. You just click on the subscribe button at the top of the page to be part of the fun. There's no other way to get all 3 hours of The Ben Shapiro Show on demand commercial free. Go check them out right now. Dailywire.com. Click on that subscribe button at the top of the page and join the club. Alrighty, coming up, we return to a feature I've been doing the last couple of weeks in which we find an old children's book and we talk about the values that those older children's books used to push. You know, values like men and women are different. And also people hunt for food. Well, today we are featuring a grand old story by a woman named Patricia Scarry, the wife of Richard Scarry, famous children's book author, called Pierre Bear. We will bring you the SJW presentation of the children's book Pierre Bear coming up. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
You owe over $10,000 in back taxes. You've called every tax firm out there. They all say the same thing, making promises they never keep. And you're sick of it. What you really need is a new start on your back taxes. If you're faced with garnishments, levies, audits, or years of unfiled tax returns, we'll fight to get you the new start you deserve. Call 1-800-312-9970. Our New Start program could stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Don't wait until another tax season ends and another year of penalties and interest are added to your balance. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970. That's 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. Again, that's 1-800-312-9970.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
This is the Savage Nation.
EMP expert Dr. William Forstgen. U.S. will cease to exist. 90% of population will die. I don't think that's news to you, right?
Both Korea and Iran have put out videos, which you can find on YouTube, of us being hit by an EMP. The leader of North Korea has openly said, we're going to EMP you. That's it.
The Savage Nation. Listen for free online on your favorite podcast app from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. On Fridays, we do something fun. We do something for your kids. We talk about children's stories. So it is time, once again, let me explain what this is. I'm going to read a children's book, but I'm also going to read it from the perspective of a social justice warrior leftist, because all that is good and innocent in American life has been removed to be replaced by utter stupidity. So we'll analyze some old children's literature every week, and we will tell you where America went wrong in its patriarchal norms. It's time, of course, for Uncle Ben's SJW story time. Today's book is Pierre Bear by Patricia Scarry. In a windswept cabin, up away north, lived brave Pierre Bear. He lived all by himself. When Pierre wanted a fish supper, he went fishing all alone. He cut a hole in the ice and dropped in his fishing line. Soon he pulled out a big, big fish, for Pierre was a great fisherman, and also a hater of the environment who victimized all of our swimming friends. That brutal non-vegan bear. Pierre went home and cooked his fish. He put the red cloth on the table, and he sat before the fire to eat his fine fish supper. I wish there were someone here to share my supper, thought lonely Pierre Bear, obviously a Canadian incel. Then Pierre climbed between the soft furs that were his bed. He went to sleep and dreamt a happy dream. He dreamt that he was with a lot of other bears who were laughing and singing and never lonely. Next morning, when Pierre Bear looked in his cupboard, he saw that he needed more food. So he took his big rifle and headed for the wild woods to hunt the terrible moose, the biggest, wildest animal of the north. Do you see how books like this teach children that guns are okay? Do you see how dangerous that is? Teaching children that people go hunting for moose, the most innocent of all of God's creatures? PETA would have a field day with these folks. Pierre walked across the snow until he found the huge tracks of the terrible moose. Then he blew a moose call on his moose calling horn, and a huge terrible moose came crashing through the woods. His antlers were enormous. His hoofs beat like thunder as he charged for Pierre, but the brave little bear was not afraid. He shot him. Bang! And the moose fell dead. For Pierre was the bravest hunter of all the North. Brutality! Patriarchy! Violence! Cruelty! This is how gun violence starts, with books about bears shooting moose from 50 years ago. Pierre took his moose home, and he made a moose stew, and moose pie, and moose cake, and 13 jars of minced moose meat. And somewhere, Cory Booker wept salty, salty tears. Because according to Cory Booker, we should all be vegan. Also the cow's fart. His cupboard was full, and he wished that he had someone to help him eat all that good food. Then, one day, it came time for Pierre Bear to take the furs he had hunted all season to the trading post to sell. He piled them on his sled and went off on the long journey through the woods. He wore his red hat and his best snowshoes. Look at how capitalism drives people to madness, drives them to skin animals and sell their furs for their own survival. The trading post was a jolly place, and the traders greeted Pierre merrily. They counted his furs, they weighed the skins, and they gave him a lot of money for them. Money, the root of all evil. I mean, if the traders had not given Pierre Bear money for the furs, if they had not given him that money, then presumably they could have used that money for solar panels. Pierre went to a store to spend his money. From a pleasant lady bear, he brought some pans to cook with. Look at how judgmental that is. Does he know she's a lady bear? Just because she looks like a lady bear? Just because she biologically is a lady bear? Did he even ask her pronouns? I don't think so. I need a guitar to sing to, for I live alone, said Pierre. So he bought a guitar. There is something else I need. Now what can it be, said Pierre. If you live all alone, you need company, said the lady bear. She is right, thought Pierre. So the very next day, Pierre Bear made the lady bear his wife. Brutality! Patriarchy. Vicious evil. All he did was he showed her that he could play guitar and provide for her. Is that all? Toxic bear masculinity right there. He tucked her into his sled with his new guitar and his pots and pans. You see the objectification of women? She's like a pot or a pan or a guitar. And away they went over the snow to his cabin. It was very nice to have Mrs. Pierre Bear around the cabin. She hung her bonnet on the new hat rack and it looked very gay. She cooked, not like that, guys. She cooked a fine supper in the new pots and pans. When Pierre strummed his guitar and sang, Mrs. Pierre giggled and clapped, because that's what ladies are good for, right? Like giggling and clapping, huh? That's what you think about lady bears? And so they lived happily all year long. Then one day, spring came to the north. The snow melted and dripped from the windows. Wildflowers bloomed on the roof of the cabin. But best of all, spring brought a little baby bear to Mr. and Mrs. Pierre Bear, a fetus bear. He was round and funny and full of fun, and oh, how they loved him. They would have liked him better if they'd aborted him, probably. Now Pierre never goes fishing alone, for the baby bear goes with him. He's teaching the baby bear about the evils of hunting. One day, Pierre Bear decided he needed new fur coats for the whole family. So he and little Pierre paddled in their little boats through the thundering ocean to the place where the fur seal lived. They hunted for the biggest, wildest...
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Tuesday of the month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. Hi, I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we'll learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Tuesday of the month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's
activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Five people are dead, five are wounded when a gunman opened fire in an attack at the Henry Pratt Company in Aurora, Illinois. Aurora Mayor Richard Irvin says it is a tragic day in his city.
I don't think I can be clear in stating that today is a sad day in the city of Aurora. For so many years, we have seen similar situations throughout our nation. And the horrible feeling that we get when we see it on the news, to experience it firsthand, is even more painful.
Police Chief Kristen Zeman identified the gunman as 45-year-old Gary Martin, and said that he was believed to be an employee at the Henry Pratt Company, which makes valves for industrial purposes in a city that's about 40 miles west of Chicago. White House correspondent Greg Cluxton reports that President Trump's expecting his national emergency declaration that he announced Friday to be challenged in court.
Announcing his decision on the national emergency, the president described in a sing-songy tone of voice how it will be challenged and work its way through the courts.
We will possibly get a bad ruling, and then we'll get another bad ruling, and then we'll end up in the Supreme Court, and hopefully we'll get a fair shake, and we'll win in the Supreme Court.
Mr. Trump says he's confident because the U.S. is being invaded at the southern border. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Payless Shoe Source is liquidating its U.S. stores.
Payless Shoe Source has confirmed that it will close all its stores in the U.S. beginning next week. This will be the largest retail liquidation ever. Payless had previously filed for bankruptcy but emerged in 2017. It will retain stores in Canada and Latin America.
Correspondent Ken Lorman, former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort could spend more than 19 years in prison on tax and bank fraudges, frank charges. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-607-3551. That's 800-607-3551. 800-607-3551. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
A Briton who fled her London home to join ISIS now wants to come back, but Britain's Home Secretary is threatening to block her return.
British Home Secretary Sajid Javid's comments come amid a furious debate about Shamima Begum, who is now 19 and 9 months pregnant. Begum told the Times newspaper that she wants to come home to Britain to secure the safe birth of her child. Javid told the newspaper that he will not hesitate to prevent the return of Britons who supported terrorist organisations abroad. Others have appealed for mercy, noting Begum's age when she fled. Begum went to Syria to join the Islamic State group in 2015, at a time when the group's online recruitment programme lured teenage girls to its self-proclaimed caliphate. Karen Shamas, London.
Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid have settled collusion grievances against the NFL, the league, and a lawyer for Kaepernick sent out statements saying the cases were settled. Though terms were disclosed, both sides said a confidentiality agreement prevents further comment. News and analysis at townhall.com. American industry took a bit of a breather last month.
Industrial production fell 0.6% in January, the decline caused in large part by an 8.8% plunge in auto and auto parts manufacturing. The Federal Reserve says the manufacturing component of the index fell 0.9% last month. Manufacturing of wood products, computers, and electrical equipment, apparel, and chemicals also fell in January. Rich Thomason reporting.
Winter weather enveloping California's mountains for a fourth straight day Friday kept skiers from hitting the slopes at the start of the President's Day holiday weekend, with snow so deep the plows could not tackle it and cities scrambled to find places to pile it. Several routes to the ski mecca of Lake Tahoe shut down, including about 70 miles of Interstate 80 from Colfax, California to the Nevada state line. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
That guy. What happened to Don't Chase Me, Bro guy? I thought he was going to run for Congress and become a star of the Democrat Party, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the anti-capitalist giant slayer. I'm glad everybody else is catching up to me on this Jussie Smollett thing, too. Hey, Jussie, just confess. Jussie, admit it. Jussie, tell the truth. It looks like he's caught in a web. Why doesn't anybody believe me? The headlines are slowly, gradually catching up to Mr. Jussie Smollett. He's an actor. He's on a television show. Everyone recognizes him everywhere. Everyone knows what his politics are, what his sexual orientation is. Everyone knows he's gone at Trump hard. That's how he said yesterday. He's gone hard. Real hard at Trump. That's what he said. ABC. Robin Roberts. It's all a lie. By the way, it's a hate crime, too. It's a hate crime. It's a racist hate crime, and it's a heterophobic hate crime. It is a hate crime perpetrated. And it's among the things we've learned, according to reporting out of Chicago from reliable news sources, all of your television and news papers in Chicago are catching up very slowly because they're afraid that they'll be called names by the left. But everybody's catching up, and it turns out that the two people in question and that the, what were they, because people of interest that the police were talking to yesterday while I was on the air, and a lot of things have happened since I got off the air yesterday. Turns out just one minor development here, and that is that the two guys in the picture of the persons of interest that Jussie said yesterday to ABC News, those are the guys. Turns out both those guys are Nigerian. They're not Caucasians at all. And it turns out they may be friends of his. At least one of them acted on the TV show Empire. And the police brought him in for interrogation. They apparently went and searched their homes, according to sourced reporting out of Chicago. And among the things that they took from the homes of the friends of Jussie Smollett, who were apparently the people in the grainy photo, postage stamps. They took postage stamps. Now, why would you do that? postage stamps. What does that have to do with anything? And they're looking to see if these are the guys that sent the threatening letter to Fox in Chicago, because it's all a plot. It's all a scheme. It's all a grand conspiracy.
Do you think there's a link between the letter and the attack?
You betcha.
And you did mention it to the police right away about the letter.
Absolutely.
Let him answer.
Just because on the letter it had a stick figure hanging from a tree with a gun pointing towards it,
right,
with the words that said, "Smollett Jussie, you will die black." There was no address, but the return address said in big red, you know, like caps,
yeah,
MAGA.
Did I
make that up too?
Ooh, there we go. And then he met up with two of his friends at 2 o'clock in the morning, got a Subway sandwich, a piece of clothesline. Somebody brought some bleach, and now we're off to the races. There it is. He's been, can you be prosecuted for lying to Robin Roberts at ABC News? I don't think you can. But we'll get into old Jussie. It might be my favorite story of the week. There are a lot of big stories. There are kind of annoying government process stories. You know, our government isn't supposed to be this entertaining. Our government isn't supposed to keep the American people wrapped with in amazement at what these people are doing in Washington, D.C. But with that, there is a lot that's going to happen this morning in Washington, apparently, if everything goes according to schedule. And we're expecting the President of the United States will come out at the White House in about 50 minutes, again, if everything goes according to schedule. And if, according to reporting, he does what the news media says he's going to do, he's going to announce the declaration of a state of emergency along the border, and he's going to repurpose billions of dollars of mostly Defense Department money and use this money to build the wall. And the Democrats, which they like to call a protective barrier or a national condom dam or something like that, and he's going to take this money from the Defense Department and from the Treasury, some from the Treasury, and use this money to build border security along our southern border, our border with Mexico. And the Democrats are just absolutely dead set against this. Boy, do they hate this idea of securing our border. And they're doing the, oh, it's a coup, it's a revolution, it's King George, this is why we fought the revolution. Now they know why we fought the revolution. It was apparently so we could have open borders. The revolution was about not having a country at all. I guess that's the latest interpretation by the Democrat Party. And so the Democrats are going to go crazy. They're going to file an action in court, and then there's going to be a court proceeding, and it'll be speeded along, and they'll probably, the Democrats, get it into the Ninth Circus Court because they're reliably insane. And then it will go to the Supreme Court, and we'll find out what Justice Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts, has to say about all of this. And so there's a lot to say on the national border, the national emergency, the president declaring the national emergency, the Democrats calling it naked contempt for the rule of law. Now, you'd think this, and where's this headline? I love this headline from WUSA Channel 9 here in Washington. Presidents have declared emergencies 59 times since 1976. See, this 1976, we created this act where presidents could, the Congress created this act where presidents could declare a state of emergency for a variety of circumstances, variety of situations. And since 1976, it's been done 59 times by presidents of the United States. It's right here in this news story. But listen to the rest of the headline. Presidents have declared emergencies 59 times since 1976, but Trump's would be unprecedented. Now, that's just comical, ridiculous. Who typed this on behalf of the party? Jordan Fisher typed this on behalf of the party. Jordan Fisher has been tricked and duped by the Democrat Party into believing things that aren't true. And then he goes and types them, and they put them on Al Gore's amazing internet. And then a greater number of people can be exposed to things that are not true, courtesy of our news media. It would be so unprecedented that it hasn't happened since Barack Obama. It's a regularly used tool that the president has available. President Obama did it plenty of times with all kinds of things. He can do it after a hurricane in Florida or something, or Puerto Rico, where, remember, what were the death toll from the hurricane there went from like 59 to 3,000 because the Democrats said so. And then no other hurricane will ever have the death toll assessed in the same way as the death toll was assessed for that one hurricane in Puerto Rico. Just that one-off, that one thing. And that was a lie. That was a giant, massive, gigantic lie by academics and the news media and the Democrats, which are, you know, kind of like Siamese triplets right there. And now we've got the news media who are going to come out and tell you, and they're going to be lying to you when they tell you this, that yes, there have been other states of emergency declared by other presidents, but this one is not like the others. And it's completely false, of course. Barack Obama declared a state of emergency in Flint, Michigan, because the Democrats ruined the water there. I remember they blamed the Republican governor, who wasn't even there when all this stuff happened and had nothing to do with what they were doing in Flint. But the news media, dutifully deflecting from the Democrat mayor, the Democrat city council, the Democrat county commissioners, the Democrat state reps, the Democrat U.S. reps, the Democrat senators, they found the Republican governor and tried to pin the tail on that donkey, and it pretty well worked for them, because we live in an era where lies live a long time because we don't have a good and legitimate news media. So there are questions about what the president is going to do, legal questions, but they will be sorted out in the courts. The Democrats are just trying to slow roll us, the American people, and ensure that our borders remain as open as possible. Did you see that Beto F. O'Rourke was asked? He said that he would actually tear down the existing wall that has already been constructed between El Paso and, what is it, Juarez, one of the great killing fields of the planet Earth. He said he would tear it down, because, and his crowd cheers, woo, woo, we tear it down, tear that wall down. And they compare it to the Berlin Wall, which demonstrates a complete lack of understanding of not only the project that is before them today, but of the 20th century, of the Soviet Union, of East Germany and West Germany. They completely misunderstand absolutely everything. They're quite amazing. I do have a new proposal, however. Here's my proposal. We build a mall. It would only have to be 3 or 4 miles long, a wall. 3 or 4 mile wall. I wonder if Congress would appropriate the funds for this. Maybe the president could take it out of DOD funds. I would like to build a 3 to 4 mile wall around Capitol Hill and keep the people in and cut off water and electricity until they start acting on our behalf. And I'm not sure how they tell us they have to throw a rock over the wall with a note on it or something like that. But a much shorter wall to contain Congress, like the old Berlin Wall. This one, and like the Berlin Wall, this one would be designed to keep people in, because that's what the left builds walls for. They build walls to keep people in because they create such hell holes that people are willing to risk their lives to escape. And sure enough, the left will accommodate them. They'll shoot them in the back while they're trying to escape. It happened thousands of times with the Berlin Wall alone. Happens at the North Korean, South Korean DMZ at the 38th parallel. You try to escape the paradise that the left has created, and they shoot you in the back. They killed about 100 million people in the 20th century, and we should pay attention to that. But that's another lesson that has been forgotten, lost to the sands of time, the winds of history. The entire left-wing project in the 20th century was the biggest nightmare ever inflicted upon mankind. But I do think it's a fun idea that we'll have a wall, and it will be a left-wing wall. Maybe we'll let the Republicans, I don't know, I think we should let the Republicans stay in there too. And just wall off Capitol Hill, keep all the members of Congress and the staffers in there. And when they sort things out, they can rubber band a note to a brick and throw it over the wall, and if we, the American people, like what they've got to tell us, then we'll let the wall down, we'll let them out, we'll open the gates like the King Kong wall, we'll let them walk out. But that would be a much better wall to build, I think, because the real problem, well, and we could build around the Upper West Side of Manhattan, maybe another one, where all the media people are. We could contain all the media people in the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Maybe we don't need this 2,000-mile wall. Maybe you just wall off parts of Washington and parts of Manhattan, and the country would be so much better off. It would be wonderful. Wonderful stuff. All right, so the president is going to take action. He's doing it in spite of Congress, and that means in spite of Democrats and Republicans on Capitol Hill, because this is the bill that the Republicans gave. You get $1.375 billion and not a penny more. We know that Pelosi promised $1 and no more. So she lied, but that's okay. You know, if President Trump had vowed $1 and no more, and then there were $1.375 billion, he'd be the laughingstock of the news media. They'd ridicule him up and down the block. They'd tear him limb from limb for, becoming the laughingstock. $1.375 billion is a lot more than $1, isn't it? Remember when the president said, I'll take the fall for closing down the government. And from that point on, oh, he took the, see, the Democrats then closed the government down. But Trump said he'd take the blame for it, so he gets the blame for it. Well, by the same token, you should hold Pelosi to the same standard. The news media should, right? She said $1. And then you get $1.375 billion. To her, I guess that's the same thing. Dollar, $1.375 billion, what's the difference? In Pelosi's world, it's all tip money because it's our money, not hers. She'll set it on fire and bulldoze it into a pit in front of the Capitol and roast marshmallows over it. And that's all fine. So the president is going to declare a state of emergency. I've got information, data, historical data on the states of emergency. The news media will be lying about it from this point on. The president is going to pluck billions of dollars from Defense Department funds and from the Treasury, because the Treasury has a pile of cash that was seized from drug dealers. And the president's going to take that money and apply it to securing our border. That's irony. See, that's kind of fun. The Democrats are angry about it. They're furious. They don't want this to happen. How can you do this? But the president is going to sign this lousy, stinking budget bill that nobody likes. I was talking about it yesterday. I love how they say, if you got a bill where nobody's happy, then it must be a good bill. Like, what kind of a culture thinks thoughts like that? What kind of a government believes that if nobody's happy, that they've done something well? But in Washington, they've convinced themselves that if you got something that's so terrible that both sides hate it, that everybody hates it, that somebody must have done something right. You're all fired. Every damn one of you. Fired. Pack your bags. Especially those Islamists and the jihadis and the anti-Semites and the Bolsheviks and, well, that wouldn't leave many, would it?
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
With all the recent news about online security breaches, it's hard not to worry about where your data's going. Making an online purchase or simply accessing your email could put your private information at risk. You're being tracked online by social media sites, marketing companies, and your mobile or internet provider. Take back your privacy by using ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of your computer, phone, or tablet. Turning on ExpressVPN protection takes only one click, and they secure and anonymize your internet browsing by encrypting your data and hiding your public IP address. Protecting yourself with ExpressVPN costs less than $7 a month. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/Chris. That's expressvpn.com/Chris for 3 months free with a 1-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/Chris to learn more.
If you have frequent heartburn, take control of it with Prilosec OTC instead of stashing antacids everywhere, like in your junk drawer, buried under old batteries and hotel pens, or in your purse, hiding in the one pocket you won't check. You even have antacids on your nightstand, which are very hard to see in the dark. Ah, it's time you stopped stashing antacids and started taking Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
Napa Know How.
Why get 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic Motor Oil for $28.99? Because that's a good price for high-performance oil. And nobody wants mediocre performance. I mean, when's the last time your boss said, here's a raise for being average? That's right, never. Castrol Edge Full Synthetic, just $28.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 2/28/19.
If you're worried about your cholesterol, hear how others are taking charge with garlic.
My doctor said my cholesterol was borderline, but I've been taking garlic, and it works.
I've been taking garlic for years.
My pharmacist recommended garlic. He said there's an ingredient in garlic that helps maintain healthy cholesterol.
I take garlic every day. No garlic breath.
Lots of people like you are choosing garlic to help maintain a healthy cholesterol. Garlic, it's cholesterol's natural enemy. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Is there any situation in which you would accept even a dollar of wall funding for this president in order to reopen the government?
A dollar? $1? Yeah, $1.
You hear the news media interacting with her? You hear that? I think they're all naked at the time. That's the news media interacting with Democrats. They're all in it together. They're like the anchor team in the movie Anchorman. we all like each other. Oh, I've got Media Research Center. Great story today on the amount of coverage the networks gave to Russia versus exoneration. Great story. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jason in Kensington, Maryland. Jason? You're on the Chris Plank Show.
Hey, good day, Chris. How you going, mate?
Hey, Jace, great. What do you say?
Hey, I'm just getting tired of this whole narrative that this is Mr. Trump's wall. It's not Mr. Trump's wall. It's the people who voted for him. And they just keep thinking it's his own pet project that, you know, that we didn't want the wall. No one voted for him. It was just, he's just an implant by, you know, the Russians.
But yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, it's just so... And the thing is, too, they just keep saying... The walls don't work, but they don't even tell you why they don't work. They just say it doesn't work.
I like to ask him. I ask him. Well, if walls don't work, do floors work? How about floors?
Yeah.
Do floors
exactly.
Work? How about ceilings? Do ceilings work? Because
car tires work on cars and all that. I mean, it's a fairly ancient idea, but it's been around for a while because it works.
Maybe Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is onto something. When we redo all the buildings in America, they'll have no walls because the Democrats have determined that walls don't work, so we're no longer going to be using them.
Yeah, no, it'd be pretty hideous having a bathroom wall that didn't work, wouldn't it?
these people are truly amazing. What is it, 63 million Americans or something voted for Donald Trump to become president of the United States. Perhaps his central campaign theme was securing our border, and the chant was build the wall. Now, the left decided all kinds of crazy things. Capitalism doesn't work. Walls don't work. They can control the climate of the planet Earth by raising your taxes. Vacuuming babies' brains out means that you care about women. Now, these people are really unstable at this point. They're berserk. They got the Klansman, the rapist, and the blackface guy over in Virginia. They're killing Amazon in New York, 25,000 jobs, $150,000 jobs. The jobs there, according to what I read, would average $150,000. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the lefties in New York are thrilled. They're celebrating the fact that they have destroyed prosperity.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
This is Carl on the Bot, and there is only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Redding. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutoBody.com.
Purpose-driven banking.
That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. KCNR, Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the airwaves, is ground zero for the renaissance of downtown Reading. Our state-of-the-art on-air studio is under construction right now, so you might hear a bit of hammering in the background. We're upgrading our sound and control systems, so you may occasionally hear a little glitch, but bear with us, we will keep it to a minimum. And we will be expanding our presence with an FM channel and an exciting launch into video on YouTube Live. KCNR, Free Fire Radio. Join in the conversation.
This is our Joe Scarborough theme music. Blondie. Hey, Blondie. He's blonde now. He's a bleached blonde. You know that dress he was wearing today? He just wears that when he doesn't care how he looks. A couple of developments in the last several minutes since we've been gathered here. Out of Boston, Massachusetts, the former Massachusetts governor, who is a Massachusetts Republican named William Weld, has announced an exploratory committee to challenge Donald Trump in the 2020 Republican primary. And he's going nowhere. Trump will kick his legs out from beneath him probably before the sun goes down today. And he won't stand a chance. He's going to have a nickname by the time the sun goes down. And this guy makes Mitt Romney look like Ronald Reagan. He calls himself a Republican, but he's a Massachusetts Republican. And I could go pull up his record and show he's a tax raising, organ harvesting, basically a Democrat who calls himself a Republican, which is how Republicans get elected in Massachusetts, by basically being Democrats. But William Weld, former governor of Massachusetts, who 2 years ago ran for vice president on the Libertarian Party ticket, has become the first Republican to announce a challenge to President Donald Trump in the 2020 primaries. This is with the Boston Globe or the whoever it is, Boston.com. You know, they all wipe out there. I've talked about this before. You got newspapers and they like the Arizona Republic becomes Arizona.com. And you have no idea what it is. That's Arizona.com might be the tourist board. But the Arizona Republic was a proud name of a newspaper for a century or something, and then they go online and they eliminate their name. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And a lot of news organizations run by dumb people and dishonest people are doing this all over the country. They're wiping out their own brand in the name of having like a .com or something. Oh, we'll make it shorter. Yeah, good idea. So, William Weld, And I just look forward to, honestly, I laugh. This is kind of a joke. He was never really even considered to be a real part of the Republican Party, and going after Trump is not going to go well for him. He put out a tweet, though, Governor Bill Weld. He still calls himself Governor Bill Weld on the Twitter account. It's time for all people of goodwill to take a stand and plant a flag on Mars, maybe like... It's for this reason I have today established an exploratory committee to pursue the possibility of my running for the presidency of the United States as a Republican in the 2020 election. Now, from this point on, it doesn't matter what he says because he's got nothing to say. He's not going anywhere. He would never be elected or chosen by the Republicans in any year. He would never take a vote away from Donald Trump on Election Day if he ran as an independent. he would take more Democrat votes than Republican votes. It's not a serious bid by any stretch. And I just look forward to President Trump dealing with him because I think it'll be funny. I'll make popcorn and sit down and watch President Trump. I don't know what the nickname's going to be, but there's going to be a nickname for him. And soon. Soon. And again, the president's supposed to be coming out in not so long, 20-ish minutes, to make a statement on declaring a state of emergency for the United States of America because he's actually on our side. The Democrat Party is not. And lots of important news to get to on these states of emergency and all the other various facets of this. I have things right here in front of me. I'm knocking with my knuckles. But before I do, the Media Research Center and Newsbusters with a great item today. Networks, colon. I love their colons. 2,202 minutes of Russia scandal. Zero for no collusion report. That's the headline. I've been talking about this, and the Media Research Center actually does the math on this. The news media, the networks, the three networks, have spent more than 2,200 minutes on the Russia scandal. When the Senate report came out the other day saying no Russian collusion, not a single network covered the story. They left it out. The most insidious power the news media has is the power to ignore. I heard somebody on Fox News trying to steal that line from me today, but they kind of butchered it. It's been 2 days since NBC's exclusive reporting that the Senate Intelligence Committee had found no material evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. And as of yet, none of the three major broadcast networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, have given even a single second of coverage in their evening news broadcasts. Considering these networks have given the Russia probe a massive 2,202 minutes of airtime, their silence on this major development is deafening. And it really, I don't know what more evidence you need. It just flows in every day of corruption on the part of ABC, NBC, and CBS and their little 22-minute broadcasts at night. MSNBC and CNN are all, equally disgraceful. The Media Research Center analysts examining all coverage of ABC News' World News Tonight, CBS Evening News, and the NBC Nightly News found that those 2,202 minutes spent on the Russia investigation accounted for nearly 19% of all Trump-related reporting between January 21, 2017, that's his first full day in office, and February 10, 2019. However, none of those three shows even mentioned the investigation since NBC's report came out on February 12th. And then it was confirmed variously by other organizations and so on. Here's one of the great parts. NBC News broke the story. And they didn't report it in their own evening news broadcast. They didn't report it in the Today Show the next day. You know, I wonder why that is. I can't imagine why that is. I can tell you, though, that a few minutes ago, our last commercial break, I walked into the newsroom. I went to get some water. And I walked out into the newsroom, and there they have TV screens up there with the various networks. And there was the CNN telescreen. And on the telescreen, in the middle of the telescreen, there were Democrats flanking the news anchor, and the news anchor was an Obama administration official. It's the party. The party is everywhere. The party is on Good Morning America with George Stephanopoulos, a Clinton administration official. Turn to CNN. There's Joe Lockhart, a friend of mine, who is a Clinton administration official, acting as a sort of middle-of-the-road political analyst on CNN. The anchor on CNN when I just walked out is Jim Sciutto, who is an Obama administration official. He left the news business to go work for the Obama administration, and when the Obama administration was over, he was welcomed back into the fold because it's the same project. It's the same thing. 2,202 minutes versus 0 seconds to the coverage of what would, I think, appear to be a watershed moment in the story that they spent more than 2,200 minutes on. You would think. That's what you would think. But you might be wrong. You could be wrong. And also, the FBI and the deep state and Andrew McCabe and all this stuff. Andrew McCabe is very proud, I guess, to be out hawking his book. He may end up going to a penitentiary because of the things that he's been saying. And I've got Alan Dershowitz on that subject today. He's very strong, as is so often the case. Pelosi warned, and we have, do we have this thing, you know, the president is going to declare a state of emergency, right? He's going to do it in perhaps 20 minutes or so. And he's going to take money from other funds, mostly from the Defense Department, in order to build more and more sections of border barrier, fences, walls, all of that stuff. The president is getting $1.375 billion in this bill that is, you know, that the Congress just passed and so on. Now, we think that that's not a lot of money. It's a pretty good amount of money. And they're going to build miles of wall, but I think it's only about 5 miles of wall with that. It's still a long ways. The president's going to take $3.5 billion from the Defense Department's, what is it, counter-drug operations. Oh, $2.5 billion from DOD drug interdiction operations and $3.5 billion from DOD construction funds, which have already been appropriated by the Congress and given to the DOD for construction purposes under the umbrella of national security. And he's going to redirect that money, which has already been appropriated by Congress, so he's not stealing it out of the Treasury like Barack Obama tried to do with a couple of his projects he lost in court. The president is also going to take $601 million from the Treasury Department's forfeiture fund. The forfeiture fund is, you see the Wolf of Wall Street or anything, you know, Tony Montana, when they catch drug lords, and let's say they got a pickup truck full of cash, the government takes that cash, it gets thrown into this fund in the Treasury, at the Treasury Department, and the president's going to take $600 million of drug money, basically forfeited money, seized money, and apply that to the wall. $2.5 billion from DOD drug interdiction, $3.5 billion from DOD construction, $1.375 billion from the bill itself, and we're getting close to $8 billion. The president had asked for 5.7. The Democrats thought they had a big victory, offering up 1.375. The president's going to end up with about $8 billion. Screw you. I'm taking my thumbnail and off my eye tooth here, going like this. Hey, nobody does that anymore. Hey, you're going to go like this. Hey, take it like that. You got to do a little Italian thing when you do that. So that makes them very angry. Nancy Pelosi, because she lashes out in anger at everything, because she's not really a well person, is she? She is threatening the American people with stripping the Bill of Rights away as soon as they have the opportunity, because they're going to use the president trying to secure our border as an excuse to act against the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
You want to talk about a national emergency? Uh-huh. Let's talk about today, the 1 year anniversary.
1 year.
Of another manifestation of the epidemic of gun violence in America. That's a national emergency. Why don't you declare that emergency, Mr. President? I wish you would. But a Democratic president can do that. Democratic president can declare emergencies as well. So the precedent that the president is setting here is something that should be met with great unease and dismay by the Republicans.
Unease and dismay by the Republicans. She is, I mean, she's like a gangster. She's like the Sopranos. It, you know, it'd be awful if something happened to your Second Amendment, wouldn't it? I'd hate to see something happen to your Bill of Rights, but if you continue down this road, I'm afraid that the Bill of Rights is in the crosshairs. So she's threatening. This is what this is an abuse of political power. She should be impeached for this threat alone. She's literally saying that a Democrat president will declare a state of emergency on firearms. And I love how they commemorate the massacre at the school in Parkland, Florida, because it serves their political purposes. Did you notice them commemorating the Pulse nightclub massacre by the jihadi? No, because that doesn't conform with the narrative, does it? So she's threatening the Bill of Rights. She's threatening, like a gangster, to strip away constitutional protections as a response to the President of the United States talking about securing our border. That's it. Oh, yeah? Well, we can respond to that. You know, that Constitution you hold so dear? Well, you hold in your pocket like so many nickels and dimes? Again, presidents have declared states of emergency 59 times since the creation of the Act in 1976. President Obama, how many times for President Obama? A whole bunch of times for President Obama. And he declared a state of emergency for the Flint water supply, which the Democrats really screwed up. I will grant you they did, no doubt about it. But President Obama, 13 times he declared a state of emergency. Bill Clinton, 17 times declared a state of emergency. As we live and breathe today, there are 31 states of emergency having been declared by presidents that are still in force as we speak. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Tony in Maryland. Tony, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet, Tony.
Hey, listen, I just wanted to comment on the wall a little bit. As a retired Border Patrol agent, when I first came in, there's approximately 3,200 agents for the entire United States border. And I worked a section of the border down in San Diego, which covered 5 miles of border between the port of entry and the Pacific Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't how many you were going to catch. It was you were going to get slaughtered every night, every single night. There's a levee that you've probably seen from some of the footage, and there would be anywhere from 500 to 1,000 people lined up because of staffing, we had to cede that section of the U.S. to them, to the illegals already inside the country and the smugglers. So it was just, you know, every night getting run over. At shift change, we would call them bonsai runs, and they knew we were changing shifts, and they would just storm across. So basically, there was a development, housing development, just across the border. So you could, maybe it was a half a mile dash, and they would disappear into the houses in the commercial areas. So when Clinton came on board, Janet Reno personally came down, and she was awesome. She would listen to what we had to say. She would take notes. She wouldn't tell us what to do. She'd go back to Washington, and then she would make things happen. So they staffed us up, they provided infrastructure, technology, and personnel, and at the peak there in Imperial Beach for 5 miles of border, we were doing 1,400 apprehensions in a 24-hour period. After they provided the fencing, the technology, and the additional areas, when I left there in 97, it was down to 30 apprehensions in a 24-hour period. So that leads me to the thing. Part of that package was the fencing, the border. So these people that talk about the fencing doesn't work are uninformed, ignorant, or just outright lying. Because the border is not, or the fencing, the wall, whatever you want to call it, is not a silver bullet. But what it does, it deters those assaults of people just running across the border. There was a couple times that I was actually trampled over as people came running over.
No kidding.
You can't employ deadly force. I mean, you have women, children, the elderly. We used to joke that it was the sick, lame, and lazy that we were able to catch back then. But those walls work. The technology alone, the technology exists. But if you were to say that you have technology that employs kinetic force to abate that those mobs coming across the border, that would never fly.
You know, Tony, you're a great caller. You're a great American. I'm saluting you, Tony. Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for being with the Border Patrol, and thank you for calling in. A lot of important information. Look, you need the barriers. So you don't have a wide-open frontier to direct people to the legitimate ports of entry. Then you need the manpower and the technology. You need all three. And you said some people are lying, some are ignorant. The politicians and media are lying. The people that believe what they're being told by the politicians and the media are ignorant, but it's really not their fault because they're being lied to by professionals.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Together, we can turn a stairwell into an ER at a moment's notice. Together, we can turn a rescue ship for refugees into a maternity ward. Together, we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't to provide life-saving medical care. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
I used to have a sweet tooth. Had it removed when I was a kid. So what do I crave instead of chocolate? A big red box from Grainger. Grainger satisfies my craving for great customer service with 24/7 support, effortless ordering, and same-day pickup or next-day delivery options. No busy signals, no cavities. I love Grainger. You know why? Because when it comes to reliable product and technical support, Grainger's got your back. Call or click Grainger.com to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
What if the kid who cut your grass worked like most financial advisors? Instead of a straight up $20, you'd get some confusing bill with surcharges and add-ons. What the heck is a blade height adjustment fee? Creative planning is different. Our fiduciary advisors work off one transparent fee structure, and we never receive commissions on your investments. Dial 866-439-5641 for a free no-obligation consultation with Creative Planning. Investment strategies recommended by Creative Planning are not assured of earning a profit or avoiding a loss in declining markets.
Liberty Mutual Insurance knows you're focusing on the road right now, so we'll just describe our newspaper print ad to you. It's a tiny square that's colored a newspaper shade of gray that has you thinking yellow. As the words read, Liberty Mutual customizes your insurance so you only pay for what you need. Now that's the kind of print ad that'll make you glad you still read newspapers.
Go to LibertyMutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
You owe over $10,000 in back taxes. You've called every tax firm out there. They all say the same thing, making promises they never keep. And you're sick of it. What you really need is a new start on your back taxes. If you're faced with garnishments, levies, audits, or years of unfiled tax returns, we'll fight to get you the new start you deserve. Call 1-800-312-9970. Our New Start program could stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Don't wait until another tax season ends and another year of penalties and interest are are added to your balance. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970. That's 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. Again, that's 1-800-312-9970.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi, leader of the Democrat Party in the United States of America, is threatening to target the Bill of Rights if the president gets money from the Defense Department to secure our border. They really won't stop until there's a full-blown civil war, will they? It's the left. It's what they bring to everyone. Let's go quickly to Elaine calling from Maryland. Elaine, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Hey there.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. I'm afraid so, I have about a minute for you, though, but go right ahead.
Okay. I was trying to connect all the dots. Mm-hmm. No borders. They say no human is illegal. All votes count. And even, you know, voter suppression by attacking free speech if you're wearing a MAGA hat. And what it leads me to think is the integrity of our voting process is being deeply damaged. And I wanted to know what you thought about that.
Oh, I think that most definitely this is all about elections for the Democrats. Everything is about elections for the Democrats. I've got this Donnie Deutsch guy on DNC TV this morning on Morning Joke talking about the Democrats' plans. I mean, they're just it's almost impossible to believe how crazy they are.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.